We are watching the call of the rare purple-haired booby as it calls out for a clue in the distance. The strange bird supervenes upon its territory, oblivious to the protector it disturbs with great commotion and abandonment.
This needs to stop. I'm also, you know, I'm a disabled veteran, nothing veteran. I've never been deployed or anything like that. But, you know, my values for joining the military and joining the army, like, this hurts to see. This hurts on such a crazy level to watch these wannabes do this. You know, they don't know what they're doing at all.
Unseen by the booby, yet perilously close, lies the object of its fervent search.
ISIS here!
A single tantalizing clue, perhaps a glint of something metallic, half buried among the leaf litter far across the clearing. And now it calls. The bird throws back its head, the long, slender neck arching in a gesture both graceful and absurd, reverberating off ancient tree trunks, carrying for hundreds of meters in search of an answer that does not come. Oblivious to all else, the booby leans forward, wings half unfurled in excitement, its vibrant crest of purple filaments quivering with each powerful expulsion of breath.
We have to show up with guns. We have to. There's no other way around it.
Their protector bird, whether they know it or not, is known as U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Created March 2003 as a direct response to the horrors of 9/11, forged in the fires of the Homeland Security Act that smashed 22 agencies into the new Department of Homeland Security. But its roots stretch back over two centuries to Alexander Hamilton's vision of collecting tariffs and guarding America's economic sovereignty in 1789, evolving through periods of immigration waves, border chaos, and criminal exploitation. Human trafficking rings, child exploitation networks, drug cartels, hundreds of thousands of criminal aliens, gang members like MS-13 and Tren de Aragua, and terrorist financing schemes, keeping our communities safer, our borders stronger, and our nation from being overrun by those who would exploit our laws and endanger American citizens.
ISIS here!
It stamps one webbed foot, then the other, sending tiny cascades of dew from the leaves below. Yet, in its exuberance, the bird has failed to notice the disturbance it creates.
We're asking people not to go to work, not to go to school, not spend a single penny. It is really important for us to have you all stand in solidarity with us. Our communities haven't been able to actually go to school.
To me, being Somali isn't just eating bananas with rice.
Well, what we're witnessing, and this is why the larger picture is important here, we're right on the edge cliff in terms of the possibility of America sustaining itself as a social experiment in the best sense of just becoming an empire full of might and force.
This is a cancer. White evangelical Christianity is a cancer. These are the worst of our country.
Shame on every Republican in the Senate who put this wildly unqualified person into a position of significance in the Department of Homeland Security so she could unleash brutalization on everyday Americans, American citizens, and law-abiding immigrant families. It's disgraceful. She's got to go. We are dead serious. She needs to be put on ICE permanently.
Yes, dismantle ICE, but also the Border Patrol, also the agency that looks over citizenship and asylum, all of it needs to be dismantled and rebuilt so people are not terrorized by their own governmental agency.
This isn't just about what's going on here right now. This is about this not going any further. It's not going to any other states. This is about this stopping. And people don't understand, you know, this needs to stop.
Secure borders and aggressive enforcement aren't just policy. They are crucial survival in an unpredictable republic.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
America is not entering a new civil war. That's what the left has been calling it. It is a multinational BlackRock WEF manipulation through NGOs working with the CIA and other organizations to run a color revolution here in the United States. That's what globalism has been the whole time, is to get rid of all nation-state sovereignty and transfer it to international groups controlled by corporations. They openly admit that now at the WEF, and they've been failing. So they're using classic communist tactics here in the United States to mobilize these mercenary armies funded by corporations and NGOs to foment civil unrest that they will call a race-based civil war. That's what all their movies like Civil War and One Battle After the Next, One Battle After Another are all about. But it's a key distinction that we are fighting against globalists. It is Americans trying to preserve our very sovereignty, our very existence, and to reboot our economy, international security, and our rights and freedoms. The left openly say death to America, openly say they hate this country. That is their main operating system. That's not just a few of them. That's the majority of them. Just go to one of their meetings. Listen to them. This country shouldn't even exist, they say, with all their liberation theology. And so now they love the Second Amendment. Now they love America. Oh, they're protecting it from the fascist Donald Trump. Well, they run around with all their high-tech systems jacked into police departments they control, license plate scanning conservatives and ICE and border agents and targeting them and their families, and hundreds of new videos a day saying kill white people and whiteness is inherently bad and churches are bad because they're white supremacy. You know, Don Lemon, they're making their move, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the facts. And we have to be aware of it and understand we're in a war for our very survival.
We absolutely are. They are making their plans. They are getting organized. We have to, you know, stop them. We have to get in and stop them. It's the only thing to do. It's the only way they stop is if they are stopped. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. I, of course, normally host the War Room in the afternoon. Stuart Rhodes is going to be taking over for me on the War Room, but we have a giant show for you here on the Alex Jones Show, including, of course, the fact that Don Lemon was arrested. Don Lemon has been placed into custody. He may be making a court appearance as early as today. Minnesota church disruptor Don Lemon arrested by feds while covering Grammy Awards in Los Angeles. What an interesting career path this man has had. Imagine going from like the voice of the nation during the first Trump administration, not because you actually deserved it or were worthy of anything even close to that label. You just were placed on CNN and given the position of, you know, authority, king journalist there to condemn the Trump administration no matter what every single day. And you're on top of the world. You're making millions of dollars. Everything you say becomes a big political firestorm. And then he gets fired. And then he gets fired and becomes a live streamer and can't manage triple digits on his live stream. Nobody cares about him. It must have been a rude awakening. It must always be a rude awakening with these leftist people who think that they deserve the position that they're in, who think that they are this big important person because of their talent and skill and charisma. And then they realize that actually without the label of CNN without being pumped out by the entire industry, nobody cares what they have to say. The Brian Stelter, Don Lemons of the world sort of dissolving into nothingness once they're no longer forced down everybody's throat. And so he's gotten desperate. He's gotten desperate for attention. He's gotten desperate to retain or regain that taste of power that he once had. And this has resulted in him committing domestic terror. So that's quite a collapse of a career, quite a collapse to go from the head person at CNN, you know, Donald Trump's worst enemy, to a failed Twitch streamer, to a now imprisoned domestic terrorist. How far they fall from InfoWars. Don Lemon arrested after Minnesota church protest. And of course, Drudge Report, God only knows what happened to these guys. Big red letters, feds arrest Lemon, Don vs. Don, DOJ targets another critic, political world rocked. Was he arrested because he's a critic? Or is he arrested because he deliberately traumatized children in a church? Are you just allowed to commit crime as long as you don't like Trump? Is that what it is? I mean, if he committed a murder, would it still say this? DOJ targets another critic. Well, yeah, for committing a crime. It's not Donald Trump's fault that his critics commit crimes, but that doesn't give them immunity. I feel like the insinuation here is that it should. Is that because Don Lemon is a critic of Trump, therefore, anything that the government tries to do to, you know, get justice for Don Lemon's crime that he committed on camera isn't supposed to be taken seriously and is supposed to be seen as some sort of example of tyranny, as yet another example of Donald Trump's vengeance on his enemies. No, Don Lemon organized with a group of protesters before they stormed a church. Then he stormed the church with them. Then he's on camera afterwards, pointing at children crying, saying this is what it's all about. So, yeah, this has nothing to do with him being a Trump critic. It has everything to do with him being a terrible person and a criminal. So good, he got arrested. I'm glad he did. I was, you know, pretty resigned to the fact that he wasn't going to be arrested because, you know, a judge decided that being left-wing means you're allowed to commit crimes these days. But apparently we got around that somehow. It's very good news. Don Lemon, this is a statement from Don Lemon, from Abe Howell, attorney for Don Lemon. Don Lemon was taken into custody by federal agents last night in Los Angeles, where he was covering the Grammy Awards. Why, though? Why are you there, though? Did anybody even know the Grammy Awards were happening? Actually, you know what? Let me take a brief moment here. This just reminded me of something. Guys, if you can come to me real quick. I just want to say happy birthday to Grammy. My Grammy's birthday is today. Happy birthday, Grammy. There's a lady in Colorado named Fran Smith and turning 92 today. Happy birthday. We love you. Sorry, just the word Grammy reminded me. And you know, I try not to take advantage of the fact that I've been given this incredible position, but I did want to do that personally. So happy birthday, Grammy. I hope it's a good one. Sorry, back to the old former CNN host slash domestic terrorist slash Hollywood news reporter, Don Lemon, being arrested. Don has been a journalist for 30 years. Really? Is that what they're calling it these days? Okay. No, he's been a thorn in the side of honest people everywhere for 30 years, and his constitutionally protected work in Minneapolis was no different than what he's always done. The First Amendment, well, I mean, in a way, that's true. In a way, storming into a church and terrifying children because you think that somebody in the church might have something to do with ICE carrying out lawful duties and expelling, like, it's a level of terrorism above what CNN does, but not in an entirely different class. Just a little bit more in your face and abrasive, but really it's all just different shades of civilizational arson. The First Amendment exists to protect journalists whose role is to shine light of truth and hold those in power accountable. I'm sorry, were the children in the church people in power? Were you holding the pastor to account, or were you holding the crying children to account, or was it the parents that you were blocking from getting to their children? Are those the powerful people you're holding to account, or were you just terrorizing innocent people because you're a psychopath? instead of investigating the federal agents who killed two peaceful Minnesota protesters, the Trump Justice Department is devoting its time, attention, and resources to this arrest. And that is a real indictment of wrongdoing in this case. That's okay. Maybe you should, I'm usually saying that we should use less AI. This person probably needs to use more AI in their writing. I don't think that's a real sentence, but we'll move on. This unprecedented attack on the First Amendment and transparent attempt to distract attention from the many crises facing this administration will not stand. Don will fight these charges vigorously and thoroughly in court. Okay. Well, good luck to him. Good luck to him. If there was any justice in the world, if our laws actually applied to every single individual equally, then Don Lemon would be in prison for the next couple years. He'll remain in custody. He will not be given bail. He'll remain in custody until his trial date, which may not be for another year or so. And at that point, he'll be thrown in prison for 2 years, because that's what happened to people who sat in a hallway of an abortion clinic singing hymns peacefully. The FACE Act is likely what will be used to go after Don Lemon, as it should be. And the FACE Act has been around for a long time, and it's only ever been used to go after abortion clinic protesters. And that was the point of the bill. But in order to get that bill across, they couldn't make it that partisan, couldn't make it that, you know, unfriendly to Republicans. You can't just say you're not allowed to protest at, you know, left-wing places anymore. So they had to make a compromise. They said, okay, we'll make it illegal to block the entrance to abortion clinics, but we also have to have, you know, apply the same controls and restrictions to houses of worship. And so they sort of did it just to get it across the finish line, just because they needed to agree to that. But they never actually intended to use the FACE Act that way. And it has never been used that way until earlier this year, when Harmeet Dillon used the FACE Act to prosecute people for blocking the entrance to a synagogue. And so hopefully it will be used here again, as it should be. Because again, they passed this law and Don Lemon broke it. So I don't know, you know, what else you expect. Yeah, young mother gets more than 3 years in prison blocking abortion clinic entrance. This is, Bevelyn Betty Williams, who has a 2-year-old daughter, attends to appeal the decision. She was actually pardoned by Trump, if I'm not mistaken. We had her husband on. I think she's been on with Brianna Morello since being freed. But yeah, they send people to prison for 3 years. I mean, you can see the videos. It's literally people sitting in a hallway, singing hymns and holding hands, and they get arrested. And really, they get their door kicked down at 2 a.m, hauled away from their family at gunpoint, and then thrown in prison for 3 years for peacefully sitting down outside of an abortion clinic, not storming into a church mid-service and blocking. I'm sure Alex went over. If y'all haven't read the actual report of what really happened in the church, a woman got her arm broken. The protesters were blocking the entrance to the Sunday school, so parents were being blocked from getting to their children, which of course was all an attempt to start a fight, right? They are really running with this, like, I'm not touching you game, to the point that they're trying to overthrow the government that way. But the whole point of this was to basically assault and terrify innocent random people in the hopes that those people flip out, get angry, and attack them. And then they, of course, would be arrested for, you know, felony assault or whatever. And I'm surprised it didn't happen. I mean, if a group of people come storming into a church where my kid is in a Sunday school room and they're blocking me, like, it's all bets are off. And they know that. And so they're pushing that, because the entire strategy of the left right now is to push things as far as possible, as hard as possible, looking for that response so that they can then frame the response as if it just came out of nowhere, like Drudge Report did with Don Lemon, another critic arrested. Well, it's kind of weird, isn't it? It's kind of weird that all the people that hate Donald Trump also happen to be criminals. Isn't that crazy? That people keep getting arrested, not for what they did to oppose Trump, not for their political positions, but because they are domestic terrorists filming themselves terrifying children on purpose. So good riddance to Don Lemon. I still am not going to, you know, be surprised if it turns out he's gets let out at some point. But it's good to see at least him get arrested for the time being, because it's already happening again. We can go to clip number six here. White liberals took over another church in Minnesota and put on a communist leftist anti-ICE singing protest in protection of illegal aliens. Let's go to clip number six here. From the Jones List.
I can think of nothing that is more appropriate in honoring Zeb Jabotinsky than to think of him in his terms of here was a person.
Trying to go to clip six here. And we just played his B-roll. But apparently liberals need this explained to them. If you don't punish criminals, they just keep committing crimes. Do you not understand this? And in fact, it's not just the individual criminal. Other criminals pay attention to this stuff. And liberals, I think, have this idea that, like, crime is just, I don't know what they think it is. I understand it. I understand and, you know, have, like, empathy for criminals in that I can understand their mindset. I can get into their mindset. Not that I think it's valid, but I can understand, like, no, people just want to do bad things. They want to get things they don't deserve. They want to hurt other people because they like to. Liberals think that, you know, all crime is like out of necessity and you just have to fix the conditions or you have to educate the person. They just don't know that the crime is wrong. But no, criminals pay attention to what they can get away with, what they can't get away with. I remember talking about this with the Parkland shooting in Florida, where they changed the laws in Florida. They wanted to stop the school to prison pipeline. Yeah, so you let one group storm a church. Guess what happens? Another group takes over another church. Obviously, what else are they going to do? And this is such a deliberate slap in the face to Christians. And it's just hand in hand with the, you know, wider theme of tearing down the fundamental foundational principles of our country, including Christianity, and warping it into something unrecognizable and, in fact, completely inverted. But yeah, in Parkland, they made it to where you can't send kids to prison. And so all the gangs just started recruiting children to commit crimes for them, and they would get away with it. Because criminals pay attention to this sort of stuff. They know, okay, if we do this, we're going to get arrested. If we do this, we're not. Oh, look, they changed the law. Now kids don't get arrested for this. Well, let's go recruit some 15-year-olds to go do some breaking and entering. We'll get the benefit, and if they get caught, nothing will happen to them because they wrote the law that way. And so that's what happened. So you had a massive uptick in children committing crimes because the gangs would recruit them. So they're paying attention. They know this stuff. They aren't just acting like out of impulse or like animals. They know, and they're testing the bounds, and they're pushing the limits, and then they're receiving feedback, and then they're changing their, you know, methods in that way. So the only way to stop crime is to stop crime. The only way to stop a communist revolution is to stop it. You can't just expect these people to run out of steam. You can't just expect them to come to the light and realize, you know, the reality of what's going on. And we'll get more into this in just a second. I'll give you some more updates. We also have Trump has nominated or chosen his nominee for the new Fed chair. We've got more rumblings with war in Iran as more military buildup occurs in that area. And even Russia is talking about evacuating its citizens from Iran. And we got a bunch of surveillance and censorship. We have so many stories and so many videos to get to, but I'm going to go now to a report from Alex Jones about ICE. Here's Alex Jones. Remember to support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Let's watch.
It is the 30th of January, 2026, and 2 days ago, the Democrat Party and their NGOs announced starting yesterday that they were going to mobilize high schoolers, middle schoolers, even elementary students, and have the schools tell them to go out and march and protest during the day, hopefully having a confrontation, hopefully somebody getting hurt, because they need a new victim. They need, you know, more death, and they're using children literally as human shields. We've already seen them bring them out to their violent demonstrations, and when they get hurt with tear gas and things, then the media can hype it up and be deceptive. But then you learn the parents actually brought their kids there on purpose. They weren't just coming back from basketball practice and got caught up in it. So now you're going to see video out of Fairmont, Nebraska, at the Fairmont High School, and the side shot shows what looks like teenagers that are pro-Trump. So they pull up in their car and show it. The crowd starts getting around them. They start trying to pull off, and you see what looks like a high schooler bounce off the front of the car at about, you know, low speeds, but they were probably going about 4 miles an hour. He was starting to speed off, and they left the scene. That was wrong. But when you see the front shot, the news isn't showing. You see a girl run straight towards the car when it's already moving. She just runs straight towards the car and is now a martyr. And now staying in the hospital, but supposedly wasn't too hurt, but you know, there'll be lawsuits and things. So we've already seen this at other ICE protests and Black Lives Matter, where they literally jump in front of the police cars. So that's the reality of this. And now you're going to have major violence over the weekend, as they're going to have other big youth marches around the country. And I would advise Republicans, conservatives, nationalists, populists, you have your First Amendment. If you want to go out to these things, fine. But they're going to try to set you up. They're going to jump in front of your cars. And I would just not give them what they want. That's my view. All right, more special reports and more coming up on this special transmission. In Fermont, Nebraska yesterday, the public school told the kids to go out and demonstrate. And it's all over the country. The left's now using them basically as shields or as the equivalent of little leftist suicide bombers so they can all play victim. And this weekend, they're going to have big rallies all across the nation in the hopes that young people get hurt, including small children. But look at this video. The national news won't show it to you. When I saw this video from the side shot, I said, looks like they're surrounding the car. Let me see if the person that gets hit actually jumped in front of the car. And sure enough, I did a search on X. Boop, there it is. Front shot. The woman sees the car start to roll. And like a zombie, she just runs straight into it. But the media won't show you that. Now, the two high schoolers, it looks like, that wanted to come out to their demonstration and say, hey, we're pro-Trump. It's your right to do it. Probably not the smartest thing. And once they got scared of the mob, they did drive off, which they could typically say is a hit and run. So that's not right what they did, but the woman that jumped in front of them, the looks like a high schooler girl. So these leftists know what they're doing, folks. They're all a bunch of Jesse Smollett's. They're experts at it, and we have to be aware of this. I see countless other videos of other leftists complaining, I jumped out in front of a car, and they hit me, and then they were mad at me when they're the ones that hit me. And you got all these other deliberate videos of Black Lives Matter, Antifa, you name it, jumping in front of police vehicles and others when they're going fast, and then trying to play the victim as well. I mean, this is just craziness, because they need to be the victim. As Axios said, Democrats need death. They need to have their cult members killed so they can play victim. They need a new George Floyd. It's that simple.
And here you see the video from the other angle where the person literally jumps in front of the car. And of course, you know, it doesn't look like the person is hurt. Really? I mean, it was a little bump. But they're gonna play it up. But they're putting their children in harm's way. And they're happy to. They're looking for martyrs. They're literally taking their children. Apparently, you know, according to them, to face off against literal Nazis. So I don't know how you deal with people like this, to be honest with you. But you wonder, you know, you hear about all these old cults, you know, in the ancient days, sacrificing their children. You know the parents sacrificed their own children, right? This isn't exactly a new thing. It's just an evil thing.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Look here, even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. Sometimes we have BOGO Sups. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month. But we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Don Lemon was arrested last night in Los Angeles by federal agents for violation of the FACE Act. The FACE Act is constitutional and properly applied. In this case, it certainly is, because Lemon and the Black Lives Matter crew said they were there to make them uncomfortable and shut them down and basically bully them into their political form of thinking. When you do that, you are engaged in a conspiracy against someone's rights. And that's exactly what happened to me with the Democrat Party and the DOJ and their fake lawsuits. And all that information has been coming out in court. A lot more is about to come out. Just wait for that here very, very soon. But he also, a few days ago, did an interview, and we'll show that clip in a moment, where he said, oh, these are white supremacists. In fact, Christian churches in general are white supremacists because only they have rights, only whites have rights. It's total division, total bigotry against Christians. That was a mixed church on top of it, but he's very, very proud of himself. But regardless, this attempt to intimidate Christians and come into their houses of worship where it's their First Amendment protected space is illegal when you do it for political purposes to terrorize people. And so he'll try to make himself a martyr. At one level, I wish they wouldn't have indicted him because now it'll just up his profile. The guy's a total joke, has almost no viewers, and is universally, you know, basically hated like Brian Stelter. But at the end of the day, we do need to send a message not to storm these churches, not to invade these churches, and not engage these type of activities. So here's Don Lemon doubling down.
And there's a certain degree of entitlement. I think people who are, you know, in the religious groups like that, it's not the type of Christianity that I practice, but I think that they're entitled, and that entitlement comes from a white supremacy. And they think that this country was built for them, that it is a Christian country, when actually we left England because we wanted religious freedom. It's religious freedom, but only if you're a Christian and only if you're a white male, pretty much. And so, yeah, I absolutely 100%, but it's an intimidation tactic. And, you know, I said, I don't understand how I've become the face of it when I was a journalist. I do understand that I'm the biggest name there. And I'm also, as I was on with my producers this morning, you know, you and Kylie talk all the time. My producers were saying, I said, how did I become the face of this? And my producer said, Don, you're a gay black man in America.
Conspiracy against rights. That's what's been done to myself, Roger Stone, President Trump, Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, and countless others. When the government organizes through lawfare or through mobs of people, anything, to go in and shut down people's speech, shut down their First Amendment, shut down their right to worship, shut down their right to the press, or their just basic free speech, it is a form of racketeering. It's a form of terrorism. And that's the reality of the Democratic Party. They're the masters of it, and their attempts to claim that Trump's violating people's constitutional rights or Trump is setting up a dictatorship is a total fraud. They're the ones that have had a reign of terror and intimidation, bullying, lawfare, and all these fake indictments.
Don Lemon cries foul. But I'm a gay black man. I can't be arrested. You can't arrest me. I'm a gay black man that criticizes Trump. Therefore, any action against me is political oppression. And they expect you to buy that argument. It's kind of hilarious. It's actually kind of funny. It's also kind of funny him talking about religious freedom and the founding of the country, like the Puritans didn't come over here to create essentially a theocracy. I mean, the church was the government for a lot of the early colonies, but that's beside the point. The right to worship is the thing that you violated by storming into a church and shutting it down. You absolute moron. He is literally invoking the very clause of the Constitution that he broke and is being punished for. So, again, the inversion never ends. Well, we'll give you any updates what happens with this. Of course, the mainstream media is having a field day. White House, and then in all caps, jokes about Don Lemon arrest after former CNN anchor, was charged after anti-ICE mob stormed Minnesota. They joked. Can you believe it? They joked about Don Lemon. You're not allowed to joke about or arrest Don Lemon. Yeah. Good riddance, Don. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, this got thrown out, if he gets away with it. I think it will probably raise his profile. But we need to arrest these people and send them to prison. So it's a good start. I'd like to see a hell of a lot more of it. All right, there's a lot of other big stories going on. Obviously, the Fulton County raid of the FBI to seize the ballots that I have a feeling are going to prove a lot of crimes, basically, during the 2020 election. We'll actually be joined at 1 p.m. Central Time to talk to Patrick Byrne about that. He's got a lot of good information about that and a lot of other stories. Again, we also are looking at what's happening around Iran, as there's a lot of stories that seem to hint that we are headed towards a ultimate conflict with them. We also have the new Federal Reserve nominees. We're going to get into all of this and more on today's episode. I do want to tell you, though, about some of the new knives that we have at thealexjonesstore.com. And just like we take the supplements that we sell, we wear the shirts that we sell, this has been my everyday carry since it came in. It's one of the amazing knives at thealexjonesstore.com. Opens easily, extremely sharp. I've always carried a knife. I was carrying around a knife I think I got free from the NRA, and it was a pretty good knife. But this knife is just simply better. It's better for a lot of reasons. It comes in three different styles: the Midnight Black, the Forest Green, or the Stealth Silver. They're purpose-built, everyday carry blades designed for durability, reliability, and real-world use, not novelty imports. They have a 3.5-inch high-carbon Damascus steel blade with a titanium handle and G10 scales. Ball-bearing pivot system. It's an ambidextrous liner lock, so you can open and close it with both hands. And it's a compact EDC build. I have one in my pocket every single day, and it's extremely useful. I use it all the time, and I've been using it for months. It's still just as sharp as it was the day I got it out of the beautiful gift box that it comes in. By the way, it would make a fantastic gift. These boxes are really, really well-made and beautiful. Like, I carry my knife around every day. I still have the box for some reason. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but it just feels like I shouldn't throw it away. It's just too nice of a box. So it really comes in a great presentation. It really just goes to show the care that we put into all of our products. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com. The new custom Alex Jones knives with the Alex Jones logo etched on the side. It's a limited production run, so they are going to sell out. Get yours while you can, folks. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And we're going to go to another report from Alex Jones here in just a second, but there are some updates to the Fulton County story as of this morning. Investigators cannot find Fulton County's zero tapes, board says. A member of the state election board revealed that the tapes used to verify ballot counters, that ballot counter started their counts at zero, may be missing. A 2020 election scandal in Fulton County, Georgia's most populous county, continues to grow with new details revealed in a state election board meeting last Wednesday. And now, a week later, with an FBI raid seeking election documents from the county, Fulton County was notoriously plagued with issues like long lines and voting machine malfunctions in the 2020 primary elections, problems the New York Times described as a, quote, full-scale meltdown. It's also totally normal, and it was the most secure election of all time. Don't worry about that full-scale meltdown we just mentioned. That was nothing. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that, folks. It's illegal to question it. The problems continued through November's election day and beyond, prompting concerns about votes being counted without proper supervision, among other things. The county's repeated failures in 2020 so degraded trust in Fulton County's ability to administer elections that the election director was forced to resign. It's just absolutely crazy. It just absolutely is insane that, A, it's been 6 years since they stole the election and nothing's happened to them, when we have just an infinite amount of evidence that the election was stolen in a variety of different ways. That's crazy. It's also crazy that something is happening. And I have to wonder if Trump didn't maybe look at his poll numbers and think, we better do some stuff. We better get some things done. We better arrest Don Lemon. We better look into the 2020 election. We better start arresting people, because they're going to lose the midterms if they don't do this sort of stuff. And you know what? I've been pretty down on Trump. I'm pretty harsh on Trump. I would swallow my words. I would vote for Trump for a third term. I'd stop questioning. If he can pull this off, if he can prove that the 2020 election was rigged and that the entire Biden administration was fraudulent, I don't even know how we deal with that legally. I don't know what happens if that's, you know, proven in a court of law beyond any reasonable doubt. I think we're going to be in some uncharted waters pretty soon. But if he can pull this off, and if this is sort of the first domino to fall. Did Donald Trump post this? Was this recent? That's so funny. And it showed Alex, maybe it's time to shut the F up and let him cook. I mean, you know, we're sitting here starving, okay? You can at least bring us some breadsticks, all right? If it's going to take you a year to start cooking, to where we actually start smelling the food and think that, oh, maybe he really is cooking. Maybe he's not just selling the kitchen to Israel, you know? Maybe he's actually cooking something. Yeah, maybe some breadsticks, maybe a little appetizer. Maybe a menu to let us know what he's cooking. You can't just disappear into the kitchen for a year, and then when we're like, hey, we're kind of getting hungry out here, where's the food? Be like, we're cooking! You have to let us cook! It's like, all right, well, you've been cooking for a year. We don't have a single green pea to eat already, so where are we at? So far, you've brought out a couple, you know, entry courses, and they don't actually exist. You've got like an indictment of James Comey for you, sir. And it's just like an empty plate. It's like, oh, right. Never mind. Sorry about that. Oh, what about Letitia James? And it's just like a little couple crumbs, piece of lettuce. It's like, well, but he's cooking, but apparently he's cooking. So again, I'm not seeing much cooking going on. So I'm not exactly going to accept that. We've been through this before, after all. A lot of people waited through Trump's first term for the hammer to come down and the storm to begin. How'd that work out? So, no, we're not just blindly trusting Trump, but we're also being open to him doing some great things and then being happy for him again, being happy with him again. That's how this works. When he does what he's supposed to do, when he does what's necessary to rescue this country in our hour of need, then we'll be happy and we'll love him and we'll support him. Until that, stop telling us to shut up, okay? Okay, how's that sound? We're going to go to this report from Alex, and I'll come on the other side with some new updates. And I don't know how I'm going to get to all these videos. There's so many good videos because the left is so dishonest about this. They're like such unrepentant liars about all of this that I have like so many videos of people just carefully and calmly and thoroughly explaining they rigged the election. The FBI proved they rigged the election to the satisfaction of a judge who delivered a warrant. And now the warrant lets them go get evidence for the crimes they suspect. Like, have to walk Democrats through this because they're convinced that whether it's arresting Don Lemon or arresting protesters that are attacking ICE or anything Trump ever does is just tyrannical madness. And we have to set them straight. Here's Alex Jones doing just that.
The Democrat Party's scared. They know they stole the 2020 election. All the evidence that we had back at the time has now been proven right. And Georgia is one of the most egregious cases where they engage in so many different types of fraud. Well, the FBI was able to get a very powerful search warrant to go into the Fulton County Main Tabulation Voting Center and get all the records because they already have large pieces of evidence of the different types of fraud, but they need the original documents. And this is about election integrity. They said it was a perfect election in Georgia and perfect election in Michigan and Pennsylvania. We all know that's a lie. Georgia now admits hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Trump voters were just pulled off and not allowed to vote or had their ballots thrown in the trash. It's just, I mean, look at Wisconsin. There's 7 million something voters now, and there's only 4.5 million voters in the state. And all those magic people that vote, happen to vote Democrat, they know they're in deep trouble. And so here's a few clips of a state senator and another Georgian who are very accurate in what they say, explaining that this is not election meddling. This is an election integrity and protection of our right to vote. And that's why the Democrats are so scared. This is the facts. So here's these two powerful breakdowns back to back.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to remind everyone what happened yesterday as it relates to the actual fact pattern of law. And a warrant was issued by a magistrate judge based on probable cause after evidence was submitted. Not a Trump-appointed judge, a magistrate judge. That is the way that the law enforcement process works in America. But we have heard repeatedly that everything was perfect with 2020. In fact, I think we probably at this point could trademark the most secure election in American history. What qualifications we use to measure that, I have no idea. But let's go back to what actually happened in 2020 if we're going to have the conversation. Drop boxes invented out of thin air, nowhere in Georgia law. Mobile voting units moving through Fulton County to 80% Democrat precincts, 81% Democrat precincts to be precise. Nowhere envisioned in Georgia law. 6.8 million absentee ballot request forms with a first class stamp sent to every registered voter in the state of Georgia. Nowhere envisioned in Georgia law. If you count the same ballots three times, in theory, you should get numbers that match. But that didn't happen either. Let's talk about the recount that happened. 3,930 double scan ballots in Fulton County alone. Thousands of those have been confirmed by the state election board. Governor Kemp actually raised the concerns of the Moncler-Rossi report. And we now know that there were double scanned ballots. But even after the ballots were double scanned in Fulton County, did the numbers match on the second recount? Nope. They were still off by 850 ballots. Not one person here can answer the question of how that happened. And that is a legitimate question. We know that ballot images were deleted. We know that test ballots were included in the recount process, and we have that confirmed. But I want to take just a minute and talk about what the Democrats did in response to legitimate questions over the 2020 election. A former constituent of mine, Derek Somerville, former FBI agent, ran data analysis along with another gentleman named Mark Davis. And remember the 6.8 million absentee ballot request forms that were sent out? They had a first-class stamp. So that means if you filed the national change of address form, that was automatically forwarded to your new address. And they identified reasonable cause to question the validity of 39,141 of those ballots that were cast. They knew that 160 people had been registered to vote from a single UPS store. 2,138 people had been registered to vote from one church in Fulton County. 1,391 had been registered to vote from a shuttered 1,000-square-foot building in Fulton County. And lest you think Fulton County has cleaned up their voter rolls, today, thousands of people are registered to vote in Fulton County at UPS stores, storage units, pack mails, homeless shelters that haven't been open for over 5 years. The Fulton County voter rolls have been and continue to be a mess. But when Derek Somerville and Mark Davis followed the law and filed objections to those voters, what did the Democrats do? Well, Stacey Abrams sued him in federal court. And they won. Not Stacey Abrams, but Somerville and Davis won. Judge Jones, not a Republican judge, ruled in their favor. What have we learned since then about those 39,000 voters? 12,000 of them have been removed from the voter rolls because Somerville and Davis were correct that they were no longer eligible to vote. 9,500 have updated their address to a new address outside of Fulton County, proving once again that Somerville and Davis were correct and those people were ineligible to vote. Ultimately, 84% of the votes of the eligibility that Somerville and Davis challenged were proven to have been invalid voters in the 2020 election. So let's stop this charade of the most perfect, most secure election in history. But more importantly, and I would agree with my colleagues on this, let's look forward to the future elections, and it's darn near past time for Fulton County to clean up their voter rolls.
So the big news today was the FBI raid on the Fulton County, Georgia election hub to recover ballots and other evidence related to the potentially fraudulent 2020 election. And while the Democrats are out there trying to convince everyone that this is some Republican attempt to overthrow our democracy and instill fear in voters, let me remind you that the FBI was required to meet an extremely high bar to get a judge to sign off on it. Here's what occurred today. FBI agents executed a federal search warrant at the Fulton County Election Hub and Operations Center in Union City, Georgia. They seized physical ballots from the 2020 general election, tabulator tapes from voting machines, electronic ballot images, 2020 voter rolls, and other related records. And the agents were there for hours. They were removing boxes of materials as part of an active criminal investigation. But why? The warrant targets potential violations of federal election laws under the 52 U.S. Code Section 20701, which requires preservation of federal election records for 22 months, and Section 2511, which criminalizes knowingly procuring, casting, or tabulating false or fraudulent ballots or intimidating voters. The warrant states that these materials constitute evidence of criminal offenses or were used in committing them, limited to actions after October 12, 2020. But let's focus on the evidentiary high bar here. This is crucial. The Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable searches. The FBI cannot raid anywhere on a whim. They must present a detailed sworn affidavit to a neutral federal magistrate judge establishing probable cause, specific facts, not rumors or speculation, that one, a federal crime was likely committed, and evidence of that crime will be found at this exact location. The judge reviews it independently, no rubber stamp. They ensure the warrant is particular, describing precisely the place and items to be seized to prevent any sort of fishing expeditions. Now, in this case, U.S. Magistrate Judge Catherine Salinas, she signed off after reviewing the sealed affidavit for a comprehensive evidentiary sweep, meaning the DOJ and FBI had to meet an even more rigorous standard with this compelling evidence. This high bar exists to protect constitutional rights, even in politically charged cases. If Democrats call this an overthrow of democracy, they're ignoring that a federal judge, not partisans, authorized it based on evidence. Rule of law demands we follow evidence, preserve records, and ensure fair elections. No one is above scrutiny here, including these election officials and including every single stinking Democrat that may have participated in an effort to defraud the American people. You know, it's, to me, it's they who tried to overthrow our republic, not President Trump, not the FBI, and certainly not Republicans.
Now, this is just Georgia we've been looking at right now. In Arizona, it's almost even worse than Georgia. I can't decide which, but now they admit for the first time ever in testimony, the legislature, by the election officials, that in the middle of the contested election, late that night, on the first night, in comes Dominion voting systems with chips, with thumb drives, downloading everything, and then leaving with all the information. And then it was reported later, coming back in the next days and weeks, you're not supposed to be touching any of that. And of course, the Democrats tell us, oh, these machines can't connect to the internet. They've all got cell phones built into them, and they plug them into the damn wall. So this whole house of cards is coming down. Democrats say the machines are totally safe. Now they're saying they're not safe. Trump's going to steal it. It's just wild. So they don't want us examining it. They don't want us looking at it. If there's Republican fraud, let's find it and stop it as well. But let's put sunshine on this. It's really important. But the good news is they're ripping the Band-Aid off. We're starting to see real action from the Justice Department because Trump's cracking the whip.
Well, good. You know, I just hope it's not too little too late. I mean, we have about 8 months to secure the midterms or else that's it. Not just for the Trump administration, kind of for America as a whole. Because it's going to be impeachment, nothing but impeachment and investigations and nonsense until Trump's term expires. And then they'll have the elections rigged again and they'll get back into power. And then they'll probably let in another 20 million people. They'll probably give the last 20 million amnesty. And I'm pretty sure that's it as a country. I'm pretty sure we cannot get back from that. I'm pretty sure it's sort of tenuous whether we can get back to the position we're in now. I think another, you know, Biden load of illegals might just be the end of it. By the way, folks, I've just been delivered some breaking news that we'll get into on the other side about Jeffrey Epstein, Bill Gates, three little letters that probably terrify the type of people that run in their circles. STDs, folks. We got some very interesting information about Bill Gates, Jeffrey Epstein, and sexually transmitted diseases from Russian girls on the other side. Stay with us, folks. Big day. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line,
This is tasty. It's delicious. It's good for you. It helps children. It helps middle-aged people. And it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy. And we've got the best.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The awakening we've seen so far is big. This planet and the globalists have not seen anything yet.
We're aware of your activities, trying to muzzle the American people and gaming your search results. Google is evil.
We now take the challenge, not to censor like you do, but to stand against you and to fight even harder for our birthright that you are trying to steal.
Remember this. You killed your profession by becoming nothing but mercenaries for the globalists, and people know that you're fake news, many of you. Now, with you trying to kill the First Amendment, you're making yourself true villains.
You've declared war on the First Amendment. You've declared war on free speech.
Since when are hundreds of doctors unable to have press conferences in America,
right?
And they take it off YouTube, they take it off Google, they take it off Twitter, they take it off Facebook. There is a giant crackdown that even the New York Times calls it a crackdown on conservatives and a plan to deplatform conservatives from the internet and communicating with each other, just like communist China.
I'm here to expose this fraud. I'm here, just like in Congress has hearings about me, I go there. And I get in their face and I expose the truth, and that's what I'm going to do.
We had over 40 million subscribers on Apple. That was our biggest thing with my three podcasts. Those were all banned.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
Like something out of a zombie apocalypse movie. Leftists are doing it again. They're throwing themselves in front of vehicles driven by Trump supporters so they can play victim.
In Fermont, Nebraska yesterday, the public school told the kids to go out and demonstrate. And it's all over the country. The left's now using them basically as shields or as the equivalent of little leftist suicide bombers so they can all play victim. And this weekend, they're going to have big rallies all across the nation in the hopes that young people get hurt, including small children. But look at this video. The national news won't show it to you. When I saw this video from the side shot, I said, looks like they're surrounding the car. Let me see if the person that gets hit actually jumped in front of the car. And sure enough, I did a search on X. There it is, front shot. The woman sees the car start to roll, and like a zombie, she just runs straight into it. But the media won't show you that.
On Saturday, after leaving the No Kings protest, I was struck and injured by a motor vehicle.
Oh, my God!
While leaving the protest, I've been very traumatized by this event. And now, in order to re-traumatize me, the cops here in Catskill are telling me that it's my fault that I put my human body in the street to be hit by a motor vehicle.
Now, the two high schoolers, it looks like, that wanted to come out to their demonstration and say, hey, we're pro-Trump. It's your right to do it, probably not the smartest thing. And once they got scared of the mob, they did drive off, which they can typically say is a hit and run. So that's not right what they did, but the woman that jumped in front of him, he looks like a high schooler girl. So these leftists know what they're doing, folks. They're all a bunch of Jesse Smollett's. They're experts at it, and we have to be aware of this. I see countless other videos of other leftists complaining, I jumped out in front of a car and they hit me, and then they were mad at me when they're the ones that hit me. And you got all these other deliberate videos of Black Lives Matter, Antifa, you name it, jumping in front of police vehicles and others when they're going fast, and then trying to play the victim as well. I mean, this is just craziness, because they need to be the victim. As Axios said, Democrats need death. They need to have their cult members killed so they can play victim. They need a new George Floyd. It's that simple.
Now they're giving me a citation for being in the road. So, honestly, I think that's a bunch of crap, and I'm very, very upset, because I want to press criminal charges against this person who hit me. And the cops just handed me a fucking citation saying that it's my fault, that my fragile human body got hit by a motor vehicle after the protest.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to The Alex Jones Show. Second hour is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, normally the host of The War Room. Stuart Rhodes will be hosting The War Room for me today. You can follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. Make sure you're following Infowars at Infowars, at Real Alex Jones, at AJN Live. Just make sure you're following us, because no matter what happens to this place and this organization, we will continue our operation, and you're going to want to know how to find us. So follow us on X, please. And of course, support us at thealexjonesstore.com, because we will continue as long as humanly possible. It's entirely up to you how long that is. And you support us and continue our operations by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Now, today, the DOJ announced they were releasing a lot of new information about Jeffrey Epstein. Todd Blanche gave a press conference earlier today. Here he is announcing the latest tranche.
Today we are producing more than 3 million pages, including more than 2,000 videos and 180,000 images. In total, that means that the department produced approximately 3.5 million pages in compliance with the act. Just a quick note about the videos and images. The 2,000 videos and 180,000 images are not all videos and images taken by Mr. Epstein or someone around him. They include large quantities of commercial pornography and images that were seized from Epstein's devices, but which he did not take, or that someone around him did not take.
And we're already finding out some pretty interesting information about it from the Daily Mail. Jeffrey Epstein says Bill Gates caught sexually transmitted disease from, quote, Russian girls, then suggested secretly slipping Melinda antibiotics. Antibiotics. New emails and DOJ release claim. Oh, boy. Bill Gates slept with Russian girls, got a sexually transmitted disease, and asked for antibiotics to slip to his then-wife Melinda. Extraordinary new Jeffrey Epstein files from the Department of Justice allege the late pedophile financier made the astonishing claims about the Microsoft billionaire in emails he sent to himself on July 18th, 2013. I wonder what the subject title of that was. You know, Bill Gates Blackmail Volume 1. I just better email this to myself as a quick reminder. I've never sent an email to myself, but then again, I don't run a pedophile ring, so, you know, maybe these things are useful. The lengthy message lashed out at Gates for ending their friendship, and it says, to add insult to the injury, you, them, implore me to please delete the emails regarding your STD, your request that I provide you antibiotics and that you can surreptitiously give to Melinda, and the description of your penis. Why was Bill Gates describing his penis to Jeffrey Epstein in emails? What? Are there warts? Am I not up to date on the lore, on the Bill Gates penis lore yet? Oh, he's describing what was wrong with him. That makes sense. I guess that makes sense. Dearest Jeffrey Epstein, good morning. I hope this letter finds you well. I woke up today and guess what my penis looked like? Any suggestions? Any suggestions of what I should do? Incredible. Earlier in the same missive, Epstein said he'd been dismayed beyond comprehension by Bill Gates' decision to, quote, disregard our friendship developed over the last 6 years. Let me translate that for you. Okay, sorry. So what it said, Epstein said he'd been dismayed beyond comprehension by Bill Gates' decision to disregard our friendship developed over 6 years. Translation, he's baffled at Bill Gates' decision to throw him under the bus publicly because Bill knows what we have on him. That's what's incomprehensible about it. Why would he throw me under the bus when he knows I have the description of his STD-riddled penis and his surreptitious desire to drug his wife so she never finds out? Why would he want to abandon the friendship like this? The shocking emails appear to be drafts of a letter intended to be sent to Gates' then-top advisor, Boris Nikolic, around his resignation from the Microsoft Billionaires Charitable Foundation, appearing to write from the point of view of Nikolic. Okay, so it wasn't an email to himself. Another email in the same morning offered his resignation from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. He wrote, I've been caught up in a severe marital dispute between Melinda and Bill. In my role as his right-hand man, I've been asked and wrongly acquiesced into participating in things that have ranged from the morally inappropriate to the ethically unsound, and have been repeatedly asked to do things that get near and potentially over the line into the illegal. Okay, so let me just make sure I have this right. Appearing to write from the point of view of Nikolic, another email the same morning offered. So Jeffrey Epstein was writing an email for Nikolic to send? I mean, when we say puppet masters, I didn't ever realize how, like, accurate that was. It's just sort of an idiom. It's a phrase. It means somebody has power over somebody else. But, like, there are multiple examples now of Jeffrey Epstein's words coming out of other people's mouths. I'm not sure if he ever sent this email, but apparently he's sitting there writing emails in the voice of, from the perspective of this Nikolic person, going, here's your resignation email. Here, send this. This will hint that you know what Bill Gates did that was illegal. This is a shot across the bow to Bill Gates from Jeffrey Epstein through his assistant, who apparently Jeffrey Epstein is puppeteering despite him being Bill Gates' right-hand man. And then we have, of course, Jeffrey Epstein sending text messages to the congresswoman from the U.S. Virgin Islands, the woman who became a congresswoman after she didn't investigate Jeffrey Epstein and actually throughout the investigation into his banking activities there. And then she became congresswoman, and then Jeffrey Epstein is texting her live during a hearing saying, ask this, and then she asks what he... So, I mean, I guess when we say puppets, we don't just mean in a theoretical kind of way. These are Jeffrey Epstein's words coming out of the mouths of the meat puppets that he controls. That's wild. And so, in this... blackmail threat emails, what it actually is, that's supposedly coming from Bill Gates' right-hand man resigning from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Jeffrey Epstein has written in these insinuations, or really these outright accusations, that Bill Gates was doing illegal stuff and that this guy knows about it and maybe wants to keep being friends with Jeffrey Epstein. And so he says, I've been asked to do things that range from the morally inappropriate to the ethically unsound, and have been repeatedly asked to do things that get near and potentially over the line into the illegal. From helping Bill to get drugs in order to deal with the consequences of sex with Russian girls, to facilitating his illicit trusts with married women, that probably means trysts, they probably meant trysts, with married women, to being asked to provide Adderall for bridge tournaments. I'm a medical doctor, but we have no prescription writing ability. As I am a medical doctor, but I have no prescription writing ability. Bill Gates is getting Adderall to play bridge. It's like when you peek behind the curtain, you expect like impressive, I don't know, but it's literally just a bunch of dweebs. It's like, I have a big bridge tournament later. Can you get me some drugs? He's He's juicing. He's juicing for his bridge tournament. From helping Bill Gates to get drugs to getting an Adderall for a bridge tournament, the shocking claims about the Microsoft founder have not been verified and come from a new tranche of documents and thousands of hundreds of thousands of documents released by the DOJ on Friday morning. The Daily Mail has contacted Bill and Melinda Gates for comment. A new photo showing Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein with friends was released on Friday. I think we may be getting an answer as to why Melinda split with Bill Gates and referenced his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein as a contributing factor. It's disgusting. This is all so disgusting. So this is the email from Jeffrey Epstein to Jeffrey Epstein in the voice of Bill Gates's assistant, admitting to all of the things that Bill Gates did or wanted him to do that were illegal. Because we're run by a giant criminal network of blackmail run by Mossad. So that's the headline, I think. And it's not exactly a surprise. Mario Nofal email sent Epstein to himself in 2013, claiming Bill Gates caught an STD from Russian girls, begged him for antibiotics to secretly give to Melinda Gates. Just crazy. That is really crazy. I mean, I'm not even sure, like, Tony Soprano would do that. I'm trying to think, like a Breaking Bad level. Like, what level of villain are we talking about here? Because I can't imagine doing it to my wife. Can you imagine doing it to your, like, do you understand who these people are? That even the people they've pledged their life to, that they're supposed to love the most, they are evil to? They betray constantly? These are our moral superiors? I mean, it's pretty sick. In another email sent earlier the same day, Epstein wrote that Gates had pressured him into participating in things that were ethically unsound. Gates has said he regrets his friendship with the late pedophile who died in a New York City jail in 2019, but has long denied any impropriety. Friday's release also includes multiple undated images of Epstein and Gates together in various locations. In one photo, Gates is seen smiling with a woman whose face has been redacted with a black triangle. Gates and Melinda were married between 1994 and 2021. Melinda, who's now a philanthropist, cited Gates's affair and friendship with Epstein as reasons for the divorce, but did not divulge further details. Melinda reportedly hired lawyers to plan her split from Gates in 2019 after reports emerged about his repeated meetings with Epstein, contrary to the Microsoft founder's previous public denials. And I've said it before. I mean, he'd been to his island like 20, 30 times or something crazy. And I again, just think about it in your own life. How many places have you been 20 or 30 times that aren't your home? I know, you know, the little town where my grandparents lived in Colorado, like the back of my hand. I know every building. I know every alleyway. I've been there like 15 times in my life. It's like, you know, it's like the place I've been the most. I'm only 30. I haven't been there every year. About once every 2 years is about average, about 15 times. Bill Gates went to the island like 30 times. What do you think he was doing there? He just loves the sun. Have you seen the man? Think he's a big windsurfer. Only one reason to go to the Bahamas if you're Bill Gates. And it's to catch STDs. Gates met with Epstein at least 3 times in his Manhattan townhouse, staying late into the night on one occasion, as the Times reported. A March 2013 flight manifest from Epstein's Gulfstream private jet, known as the Lolita Express, says that Gates flew with him from Teterboro Airport in New Jersey to Palm Beach, Florida. Gates' then spokesperson Bridget Arnold told the newspaper he didn't know it was Epstein's plane. What? You didn't know it was Epstein's plane? He's getting in random planes now? Okay. It's crazy. It really is. It's all just insane. This is the power structure. These are the people that run the world. And they are just monsters. They're all just horrible monsters, folks. And that's why. And by the way, that's why they were allowed to get to the top. That's exactly why. And something we're sort of seeing examples of with things like the Fulton County stuff, where just as we're going back and seeing all of the evidence from 2020, people are just reposting all these videos, people giving affidavits and testimony about seeing things that were wrong. And you just get this sense, you get this overwhelming feeling, and it's just obvious, right? When you're running a criminal operation like that, You don't want somebody who's just like decent, just like a normal decent person that just isn't going to go along with your creepy blackmail ring or your attempt to rig the election. So, like, it just makes sense that, like, you get these creepy, weirdo, power-hungry psychos in position of power, and then they are terrified of somebody near them exposing them. And so they make sure to not be around anybody except for people that will cover up for them, that are into it, that are okay with it, get off on it, are also participants. I mean, it's just kind of obvious. And, you know, this goes back to, we were talking about this with the COVID czar from New York City was caught, I think, by O'Keefe or Veritas on hidden camera talking about the orgies they would have while the rest of the city was locked down. I just remember at the time being like, of course this whole office is corrupt, because if you're this creepy dude that's hitting on your coworkers and having orgies and like, you don't want people that even might have a moral bone in their body. You want to make sure that everyone around you is just a cretin like you are. And so repeat that for a couple decades of the entire elite leadership being of this same mindset. And yeah, you just were just run by vicious criminals. Completely insane. Melanie Walker was Epstein's science advisor and became a senior program officer at the Microsoft founder's charity, the Gates Foundation. And Boris Nikolic, the foundation's science advisor, was so close to the hobnobbing pedophile that he was named as a backup executor to his estate. Nikolic said he was shocked to be given the role in Epstein's will, declined it, and told the Times in 2019, "I deeply regret ever meeting Mr. Epstein." Text messages from 2017, released by Congress last year, suggest the relationship between Gates and Epstein continued despite his then-wife Melinda's disapproval. Poor Melinda, man. I never thought I'd feel for Melinda, but, you know, I don't. I guess I still don't, since she's still very much involved in her quote-unquote philanthropy. What's this from? Is this one of the new releases? So apparently 3 million new documents are being released. Apparently some of them have. This is just the sort of first thing. Oh, this is like the menu where they're sort of like giving all the stats of the woman that they're selling. Just okay. I'm glad these are finally coming out. The Democrats are getting exactly what they asked for. Wonder if they're going to regret it. Wonder if they're already starting to regret it. After all, Bill Gates remains one of their, you know, stalwart champions, despite the fact that he doesn't believe anything that he says. And it's obvious because as soon as it becomes apparent, and, you know, we maybe didn't cover this enough because it was kind of subtle. But, you know, Bill Gates recently said, you know, maybe climate change isn't as big of a deal as we thought it was. You know, maybe we don't have to go crazy over this climate change thing. Maybe we went a little too hard early on. And it just like could not be more obvious that everything these people do, everything that the Bill Gateses and the World Economic Forum, everything, it's all predicated on one concern: controlling humanity. That's it. And to them, climate change was an extremely useful tool for controlling humanity. Then AI was invented, and AI was extremely useful, way more useful than climate change, and at odds with climate change, because AI requires enormous amounts of energy production. And so when it comes down to it, they much prefer to have AI control you than try to do it through climate change. So they just throw climate change out the window. They never cared. They never thought climate change was real. They never cared about it at all. And the instant it's shown that in the balance, climate change is less effective than AI, then they just abandon it and go, yeah, never mind. Forget all of that. It's like, well, I'm glad we didn't let you do all of the stuff that you were trying to do, which is the thing we always said about climate change. I mean, say what you want about the interventions for COVID. At least some of them you could stop at a certain point, right? You can mask everybody and cause huge damage, but at a certain point, people can take the masks off and you can stop doing that damage. How do you reverse spraying aluminum into the atmosphere to block out the sun? Like, those types of interventions you can't undo. And that's what they're trying to do. And now they're just like, yeah, never mind. Actually, never mind. We want infinite energy production for our AI control system that we're going to feed all of the surveillance into in order to monitor you constantly and intervene whenever you do something that displeases us, the pedophile rapists. Democrats in the House Oversight Committee released files from Epstein's estate in September of last year, including his appointment calendar showing several meetings with Gates. An undated photograph released by the committee last month showed Gates at an event with ex-Prince Andrew, the British royal, who lost his title over his close relationship with Epstein and allegations he had sex with a 17-year-old girl who the financier allegedly trafficked. Andrew has long denied those allegations. Very good to see. I like seeing it. I don't like hearing it, exactly. I don't actually want to know about Bill Gates's sex life, but I do enjoy the fact that these ridiculous criminals, these rapists, these just in general horrible people who just think that they'll be able to get away with everything forever and just abuse everybody endlessly are at least in some way, and if not being legally punished, are just having their reputations utterly and completely destroyed for a very good reason. And like, you really think about it enough, it kind of makes you feel sorry for Bill Gates. Again, not really. Again, let me be clear. I'm not sorry for Bill Gates. He can burn in hell for all I care. But imagine being Bill Gates, thinking you're on top of the world, thinking that you're going to run this COVID thing. And you're, because basically how Bill Gates's character, his spirit, he basically is just a control freak. It all comes down to just he wants to control everything. And you can see this all the way back in interviews with him in the early 90s when they're talking about how Microsoft was ruthlessly monopolizing the software industry. And he just wants control, and he wants to be able to manipulate things to his end. And when he wants something done, it infuriates him that there might be a reason he can't do it or people don't want it done. He wants a world that he can control like a computer chip. He wants populations that he can uproot and move over here and place down. He wants, you know, dictates to be just followed unquestioningly like we're all robots. That really is at the heart of it. So imagine going from the richest man in the world. You start this foundation. You combine your wealth with Warren Buffett's to combine the two largest fortunes in America together in a philanthropy, which is just the word that leftists use when they use money to control people. That's what philanthropy means. It means using their vast wealth to change society against our will. That's what they mean by philanthropy. But he thinks he's going to be this pink sweater wearing philanthropist that's going to save the world and be, you know, honored as this rescuer of the world with his beautiful vaccines. And now his name is mud. He is going to be forever associated with creepy pedophilia and sexually transmitted diseases and attempts to take over the world through his ridiculous climate change agenda that he abandoned because it was retarded the whole time. The man has fallen from grace in a way that is very satisfying and very well deserved. And I hope his life is a misery forever. I really, really do. Jeffrey Epstein allegedly tried to extort Bill Gates over extramarital affair. No, that's what we just read. Convicted sexual offender reportedly threatened to expose Gates' relationship with Russian bridge player Mila Antonova. She's a Russian bridge player? Is bridge a thing? Am I missing something here? Do people play bridge? I've never met anybody who's ever played bridge. Is this what the Bill Gateses of the world get up to? Maybe I'm not hanging around the right circles. Maybe I am hanging around the right circles. Maybe you don't want to be playing bridge. Maybe you run into these types of people. So that's just one of the things that we have now learned from this new tranche of Jeffrey Epstein documents. We'll bring you anything else that gets discovered as it comes in, but we got a lot of other stuff to get into. I really want to get into what's happening in Europe as they are just going beyond insane. We are going to get into Iran. We are going to get into more of what's happening in Fulton County and the new Fed chair and a lot of other news to get to, and I'm sure throughout the show we'll be receiving updates, transmissions from the Epstein files, and we'll bring them to you whenever they arrive. Follow us, folks, on X and all the social medias you can, and go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to support us and let them know who sent you, and we'll be back on the other side with more breaking news. Don't go anywhere.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you eat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
No marriage, no babies, no truth, no God, no happiness, no joy, no countries, no buildings, just rubble. I just want rubble and sadness. I want the sky to turn black. Black Lives Matter, turn the sky black. I want to see, I want to melt. I want to be a puddle of mud. What I'm doing is justified, and white people living their lives is evil. White people just try to get by is evil. Black Lives Matter only, and everything should die. Knock down every statue. Burn down the Burger Kings. Fill the country with Mexicans. Kill the whites. Go to their homes and live in their yards. No jobs. Quit your jobs. Destroy all of it because of
Yeah, there you go, folks. Your completely accurate representation of what the left believes. I wish I could give credit to whoever made that. Cracks me up. We are going to talk about the insanity of the left here, and we may be making some pretty divisive statements. So I want to start off this segment, well, right after making fun of them. Unity with the good guys. Now is a time of massive division in America. We need to deliberately foster unity on the basis of Americanism. Like, that's it. Now, I've been saying this the entire time I've been in Fort. Nationalism is the answer to all of this stuff. It's the answer to racism. It's the answer to everything. At the end of the day, no matter what you disagree on, we're both Americans, so we're on the same team. Does that not make sense? Can we not handle that? Like, we lose or we win together. How can we not have that just as a basis of something, right? And I cannot believe that so many people fall for the lies of the left when it's so abundantly clear that the video we just saw really does represent their ultimate goal, whether they express it or not. I was saying this yesterday. I'm actually going to play a video right now that I played yesterday on the War Room, but I just think it's so good. I want to share it to the larger audience of the Alex Jones Show. But it's like, what can the left even point to? What can they even point to go, you know, come with us and this will be your future? Like, we know what their future looks like. It's South Africa. It's Zimbabwe. They're going, come join us in the rubble. We too can be a welfare state that's collapsing and all of the precious metals are being ripped out of our power lines and sold on the black market so we don't actually have power half the time. But like, that's what awaits us if you come with us. Like, who is buying this? Who is buying what they're selling? It's ridiculous. And it reminds me a lot, and I've been talking about it a lot, the video we played on the War Room of from a YouTube channel called Voices of the Past. And it's a diary, a series of diary entries from a guy living through the Russian Revolution. And, you know, in it, he's going, hey, if the revolution really happens, this. And it's like, dude, you are already in it. He has no idea what's coming. Although he has some idea because he's looking back at the French Revolution 100 years previous and saying, I hope we don't go down the same route here. I hope we don't end up in a reign of terror like they did. Oh, you made the French Revolution look like a picnic. And it's just, there's something about the fact that, like, during the Russian Revolution, he's looking 100 years back at the French Revolution, the bloody gore that it ended up as. Now, here we are 100 years ahead, looking back 100 years at him and the bloody revolution he was involved in, facing our own revolution. Are we just going to go through this over and over again? Or can we look at history, recognize the pattern that communist revolutions take, and understand the only thing that stops them is stopping them? Every time, it's the same thing. In 1918, they tried to do a communist revolution in exactly the same way that they did in Russia. In Russia, it succeeded. In Germany, it didn't. Why? Because some of the first cities that they took over had barracks nearby, and German generals, just on their own volition and without orders, stormed into the city hall and killed or expelled all the communists and just put it down. So the 1918 communist revolution didn't work in Germany because they crushed it immediately in its nascent phases. The German generals, the Free Corps, who just decided to do it, again, on their own volition. They just saw a bunch of communists taking over, you know, the city hall in Hamburg or wherever. We're just like, no, we're not allowing this. And just went in and crushed it, and Germany didn't become communist. That's what it takes, y'all. It's the only way. It's the only thing that stops it. You either go Franco or you go Bolshevik. It happens over and over, and they're doing it again. And they're planning on the exact date of their revolution. It's May 1st, 2028. They have every major union in the country talking about this. They're all going to go on strike at the same time to economically cripple the United States until their demands are met. And their demands are a total socialist overhaul of the United States government. And that's what they did in Germany. It's what they did in Russia. This is what they do. And they're doing it again. We can see it. We can recognize it. Can we stop it using our human will? Is it possible? Of course it is. Will we? I don't know. Anyway, there's a long tangent. The point is, we don't have to fall for this. We have something we can seize onto. It's the American identity. It's Americanism. The false dichotomy is like fascism versus communism. There's Americanism that is a third option that is not either one of these extremes, and that is just what we've been or what we were for 200 years before we decided to do this whole multicultural experiment. Let me go to this video, and then I'll return with some more news. I might have made a mistake. I told the crew, bring me in any Epstein stuff. I have a feeling it's going to be just like an endless supply of Epstein stuff. We have some new stuff about Elon Musk I'll get to in just a second. But I want to go to this video of this guy just expressing a sentiment that I don't understand why all Americans don't feel this. This should be like our new national anthem. Okay, let's watch.
I like white America. I don't like this Somalian America or Taliban America. I'm not into it. Got these damn Talibans and terrorists running New York City. You got these Somalians taking over damn Minnesota. I'm sorry. I don't like it. I don't like it. Call me whatever you want to call me. I miss a good old white America with a sprinkle of the rest of us. Some blacks here, some Latinos there, some Asians, you know what I mean? Just the good old days. What the hell we got going on? We got people praying in the middle of the street. I'm not into your little prayers and whatnot. I don't like it. Clean that up. Make America white again. What the hell's going on? We got kids. And our kids ain't gonna grow up in the same good old America we grew up in. It's gonna look like a damn third world country. Got these people come to our country and steal billions of dollars. Imagine if they walked into Mexico and stole billions of dollars. They'd be swinging from a damn tree. Their heads will be missing from their body. But they get to just hide out over here and just cause chaos and commotion so nobody pays attention. I'm getting sick of it. Elon Omar sitting on, what, $45 million? How? I don't trust the voting system. I don't trust anything. We got to figure something out. Something ain't right. Got to close the doors, man. Can't let everybody in. You see what's happening. They're taking over. We're going to be the minority, all of us. Man, all these weird-looking people just running the country, making us the new slaves. Something's got to be done, or it's going to be hell to pay. Maybe not for us, but our kids and our grandkids. I don't want to see that.
Westcott, America. Yep, he's on my team. I don't know how the teams are going to break down, but he's on my team. I'm on his. And again, the thing about looking back into history and seeing the way revolutions went wrong, you can read the diaries from this guy. You can, you know, watch the video. And he's going, you know, maybe I don't agree with everything they say, but, you know, the czar can be a little bit heavy-handed sometimes, okay? Let's not pretend like the czar doesn't have his own, you know, issues when it comes to, you know, putting down revolts or, you know, not having so much openness, which is kind of a lie anyway because they were liberalizing in Russia regardless. But again, that's what always happens. And it happens in America too, where there's some sort of like discomfort. There's some sort of societal change that occurs that means that the old way of doing things doesn't quite work anymore and causes some discomfort and friction. And typically things will sort of resolve themselves on their own. Things will get better incrementally and you'll end up, you know, in a good place. But what happens is you get agitators and activists and communists who see that little pain that's been caused by whatever it is, right? In America, it'd be like, well, we have all this technology that means that women aren't having to, like, spend all day every day washing clothes and doing dishes and preparing food. We've got dishwashers and washing machines and all these wonderful things. Now, women aren't, you know, tied to the house by necessity just to function. So they're around and so you go, oh, maybe women should be a little bit more, you know, equal to men in society. And so, you know, just naturally because of the progress of technology, sort of the old way of doing things doesn't quite work anymore. There's some friction, there's some discomfort and things are moving progressively. But then you get the radicals coming in, you know, rip their shirts off and start burning their bras and going, we have to tear this whole thing down. And it's like, if you just let it naturally progress, it'd probably be fine. But you get people who come in and take advantage of that sort of, lack of patience, impatience of people who when something's wrong, they want it fixed right now. And then it gets exploded into something bigger. And so I sort of have the same feeling here where people are like, oh, but it is kind of tyrannical. You know, we are allowed to carry guns at protests. And it's like, do y'all not understand? You can't give credence to the communists. They're taking this stuff and blowing it wildly out of proportion, and you have to stand firm on the fact that what Trump is doing, everything that we're doing is perfectly legal, is fine, and things that are wrong, things that are bad, things that aren't quite perfect in America are basically nothing compared to what they will be if these people take charge and plunge us into socialist communist hell. I get it. It's not perfect where we are now, but don't let that imperfection become a vulnerability for communists to sink their sword in, to chink in the armor, to sink a wedge in and start forcing us apart. Because at the end of the day, we're all Americans, and what America built for everyone is so much more beautiful and better than anything the socialists can even suggest will happen if they're in charge. We need to reassert that over and over, the importance of not just our system, but the people that uphold it. All right, this just got brought into me from Shadow of Ezra. New Epstein files show that Elon Musk was in communication with through email with Jeffrey Epstein in 2013 after Epstein was a convicted pedophile. With Elon Musk saying, is there a good time to visit? Jeffrey Epstein saying, I will send a heli for you. Musk stated in the exchange that he would be in the British Virgin Island over the holidays. The British Virgin Islands are about 15 miles from Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island, Little St. James. Yeah, so, well, the British Islands are an island chain. Some of them are British, some of them are American. Epstein's is on the American, in the American group. Musk had previously said that he and Epstein never interacted. Interesting. I need to fly back to L.A. on the night of the 2nd, says Elon. Jeffrey Epstein says 2nd or 3rd would be perfect. I will come get you. I wonder what this was about. I will be in the BVI / St. Bart's area over the holidays. Is there a good time to visit? And then there's this chart. What is this chart, guys? Complaint summary. So this is another document released. So again, they've released 3 million documents from the Jeffrey Epstein tranche, and we're showing you some of the more crazy ones. So these are notable names: Jeffrey Epstein, Donald Trump. Blank reported an unidentified female friend who was forced to perform oral sex on President Trump approximately 35 years ago in New Jersey. The friend told Alexis she was approximately 3 to 14 years old when they occurred, and a friend allegedly bit President Trump. The friend was allegedly hit in the face after she laughed. Okay. So I don't even know what this chart is. I guess this is just from the tranche. But again, it's similar to the ones that we saw after the first big tranche of documents, where it's just like completely baseless accusations that are recorded, you know, because they have to be recorded, but then turn out to be totally and provably fake. At age 16, while modeling, Caller attended 8 parties at Epstein's New York residence. On one occasion, Caller reported she was sexually assaulted by Epstein. On another occasion, 2 twin brothers, Alan and Oren, lured Caller and her best friend upstairs, but they escaped back downstairs. Caller stated Oren raped her best friend, and a third brother, Tal, raped a 14-year-old girl named Blank. Caller's named other individuals involved in big orgy parties with her, other young girls, and older Victoria's Secret models, including Bill Clinton and Donald Trump. All right, so I'm not sure what the context of this is, but we're going to see a lot of interesting and real information, and probably a lot of not real information as well. I guess it'll be up to us to sort through this. Remember, Bill Clinton was, in fact, Jeffrey Epstein's like best friend, according to everybody that knew him, including some of the survivors. Whereas Donald Trump has consistently exposed what Jeffrey Epstein was up to. And I always like to point back to a video from 2015 of Donald Trump when he was still, you know, candidate, and it was early on in 2015. He hadn't even done the debates, I don't think. And somebody asked him about Epstein because Epstein was in the news, and he said, they did some weird stuff on that island. You should ask, the prince about that. You should ask Prince Andrew about that. And it's like, from that point alone, it's like, I don't think this guy's in on it. I don't think this guy's one of the people doing this. Just because the way he reacted, he's just like, oh, Jeffrey Epstein, ask Prince Andrew about that. And it was way before Prince Andrew was like convicted for this, basically. So we'll see. We'll see what else comes out about this. But like I said, we've got a lot of other gigantic news going on. And you know what I want to do? I want to go to a couple clips that I cut out of Sidney Powell's deposition, because as so many people are bringing up again, and you know, so many videos are resurfacing showing the inordinate amounts of fraud that occurred in 2020. I went back and I watched Sidney Powell's deposition, and I found it extremely informative and interesting, kind of fascinating. Some of the things she said, and she took a plea deal. I mean, they charged everybody over this, which is ridiculous. And by the way, this is what I mean by, like, what do you even do about this? If the election is proven to be rigged, which I think it, I mean, it has been basically, but not officially and whatever. If this document raid proves that they completely rigged the election, stole Georgia, stole the presidency from Trump. I mean, they went on to charge Trump and Jenna Ellis and Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell. They charged all these people with crimes over investigating the election. But if the election was really rigged, then all of these people have massive civil rights convictions, and everybody who participated in their indictments in the first place was really involved in a giant cover-up to imprison and silence the people that were investigating your crime. Like, do we understand what we're talking about when we say the 2020 election was stolen? We're talking about an enormous criminal cabal across the entire federal government and the media. I mean, Bill Barr would have to be involved in this, right? He was the attorney general at the time that shut down investigations in places like Pennsylvania. I'll go to a video about Pennsylvania here in just a second. But doesn't that mean January 6th was actually extremely justified? Actually, if the election was stolen, doesn't that mean that January 6th wasn't some crazy riot of Trump trying to stay in power by force, but was exactly what it actually was, a bunch of God-fearing, patriotic American citizens who saw their election stolen right out in front of them and were angry at that and didn't like that and wanted to oppose that? So I don't know how you undo all of the damage that's been done from this. I don't know if that's even possible. But I think extraordinary measures are necessary from this point on. But let's go back to 2020. This may have been 2021 or so, maybe in 2022, but it's Sidney Powell talking about the time between the election and January 6th and the meetings that she had with Donald Trump. And I thought a couple of these were interesting. We'll start with clip 38 here. Sidney Powell, let's watch.
Okay, so he continued to be interested in the election machine frauds and Dominion specifically at that point.
Who, the president?
The president.
Yeah, I would say he was interested in it all along.
Okay, so even though there's that reporting that I think a month before he had muted and said, this is crazy. Like, he never told you, like, this is crazy. Stop giving me this information.
No.
What sort of things was he saying in December 18th specifically?
Well, he knew he'd been, he was, all his instincts told him he had been defrauded, that the election was a big fraud.
And when you say his instincts, did he ever describe that in any way? Did he ever point to any kind of proof or evidence or anything he was getting from his other attorneys or experts?
Well, he talked about, you know, seeing the vote totals roll backwards on the TV.
You mean on election night?
Yeah. And the unbelievable spikes, how far ahead he was in different states at the time all the machines stopped counting, and how it should have been impossible to make up that sort of vote difference without some kind of shenanigans.
I don't know. I just love that. It's like, why did Trump think the election was stolen? It's like, well, because we watched it be stolen on live TV. Because the vote count totals went backwards at one point. That was kind of weird, wasn't it? He was winning a bunch of states. Then they stopped counting. And then the next morning, he wasn't winning those states anymore. I guess that would have been a hint that something might have not been exactly above the board, all right? I mean, it's just crazy. It's five and a half years past. And we all watched it live. We all watched them steal the election. And we all heard the affidavits of the people who explained exactly how the election was stolen. Like the truck driver driving a truck full of ballots from New York to Pennsylvania, trying desperately to keep it in the chain of custody, only to have it basically the truck stolen from him by somebody and taken somewhere. And he, like, just testifying this the next day, being like, yeah, this just happened. And then this. The litmus test of sanity, I call it. The question is, if you stripped all of the information from this, if all you had were the lines and maybe the x-axis and the y-axis, can you recognize where the anomaly is? Are you able to see the line that's unlike the other lines? It's a vertical line that goes straight up. No other part of the line looks like that. Can you see it? Can you see that? Do you see what's the anomaly here? Can you figure out where the strange part of this you know, votes over time graph is? Because liberals tell you they don't. The liberals see this and they go, I don't see an anomaly. I don't see anything wrong. I don't see anything about this that would make me suspicious about anything. Yeah, it's the sanity litmus test. You either have to immediately acknowledge this is messed up, this is only possible through fraud, or you're a liar and you're pretending to not see something right in front of you. Okay, so I just think it's interesting when they're like, why did Trump think this? She's like, I don't know, because he saw it be stolen right in front of him. Because we watched it in real time as vote totals were changed to, like, in literally an impossible way. Let's go to the next one here, 39. This is Sidney Powell.
You had said before, if he got to the point where, you know, the facts were telling him you've lost, he would then bow out. That was either what he said to you or the sense that you got.
Yeah, he said something very clearly to that effect.
Okay, but then on the 18th, the only real justification that he's giving you to why he's not bowing out is that his instincts tell him that he won.
That and the evidence that I'd showed him.
Okay. Ms. Powell, were you ever around when someone, anyone, told Donald Trump that he had lost the election?
Oh, yeah.
Who?
Pat Cipollone, Eric Hirschman, Derek Lyons all thought he'd lost.
And she goes on to name basically everybody around Trump. And basically what it gives you is this really good picture of, like, Trump knows the election was stolen. She calls it his instincts, but it's hilarious. He's like, so all he had to go on was the instincts? And she's like, well, yeah, and the evidence. It's like, yeah, you know, his instincts and the proof is right in front of you, available with your own eyes. It's just insane. Well, let's go quickly to 43 here. Won't be able to watch the whole thing, but just a little selection just to remind you of not Pennsylvania or not Georgia and not Arizona, two of the most egregious examples. What about Pennsylvania? How secure was their election? Let's watch.
Pennsylvania had over 1.5 million fraudulent votes counted, and the spread is less than 82,000 votes. These fraudulent votes come from dead voters, ballots that were received before they were supposedly mailed out, and over 330,000 electronic spikes from the voting machine. 205,000 overvotes, meaning there were 205,000 more votes than registered voters, and 682,000 ballots that were illegally processed without any oversight whatsoever. More than 1.5 million votes in Pennsylvania is apparently what it took for Joe Biden to steal the state. Georgia has a similar phenomenon that Democrats are failing to account for. 66,248 underage voters voted in Georgia.
Again, this is an OAA report from 2020, I believe. We've known this for 5 years, so it's about damn time we get an investigation into it. We should have had one that year. We should have had one after January 6th. Finally, 6 years later, we might be taking steps towards some form of justice. When we get back on the other side, I'll be joined by Patrick Byrne, who's actually in the room with Sidney Powell during some of those events when Donald Trump was frantically trying to, you know, get a correct result for the election, and everyone around him was saying, you lost, Trump, give it up. But he knew better, so did we.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com. our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexshowstore.com and at Funds or Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexshowstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. I usually host The War Room. Stuart Rhodes will be sitting in for me there as Alex takes some very well-deserved break time to rest himself. We're actually making him, and it's not even working. He's still sending in a lot of reports. The man cannot relax. And I hope you can support us in our, some say, insane drive to save America from the clutches of the globalists. We probably work too hard. Please support us at thealexjonesstore.com. With that, I'm very happy to welcome Patrick Byrne, entrepreneur and patriot. His two decades as founder and CEO of Overstock.com were years of innovation and breakthrough that came part of the fabric of e-commerce. He doesn't want me talking about that. We all know who you are. Everybody knows who Patrick Byrne is. If you don't, catch up,
guilty,
folks.
Guilty, Your Honor. Guilty as charged.
Well, I will tell people they can go to enemywithindocuseries.com, enemywithindocuseries, to see your incredible documentary series and follow you on X at Patrick Byrne. That's B-Y-R-N-E. Mr. Byrne, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's Patrick, and nice to see you, Harrison. And I will echo your comments that your viewers should be supporting you. History is going to see this like Ho Chi Minh's War of the Flea of the Ants against the Elephant. It was thousands of little sources, citizen journalists, coupled with, you're much more than an ant. Your work has been so valuable. Listen, I've got two important responses to what I've heard so far. I've got some big news I want to slip on you quickly. Are you aware of about the Secretary of State meeting today?
No.
Okay, big news. Tulsi Gabbard and Pam Bondi have asked to address, there's a meeting today of the National Association of Secretaries of State. So the 58th state has its own Secretary of State who runs the licensing, corporate, blah, 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 and runs the elections. They have a convention twice a year. They're getting together today for a couple of days. And Tulsi has said, Pam Bynum and I are going to come speak to you at 3 p.m. and carry it on C-SPAN. So C-SPAN today at 3 p.m. Eastern is going to have Tulsi and Pam Bondi. God, these people are becoming like Madonna, aren't they? Just brands in themselves. They're showing up at the National Association of Secretaries of State convention and saying, we are talking to you at 3 p.m. today. It was suddenly scheduled. My guess is this might have something to do with election integrity. And who knows, maybe they found something already in Fulton, Georgia.
Well, that would make a lot of sense. As we know, Tulsi Gabbard was there on the scene as the FBI was confiscating the evidence. And we'd been hearing, you know, rumors that maybe Tulsi Gabbard was on the outs. Apparently she wasn't involved in the Venezuelan raid. I don't know if you have any, you know, information about that. But clearly she was working on other stuff behind the scenes. She wasn't being excluded necessarily, but she was obviously working on this.
Yes, Tulsi's not on the outs or everything I hear. She is key, and she's the, you know, you gotta, as the old song goes, you gotta be a football hero if you want to go out with the beautiful girls. It's Tulsi's the football hero here. Tulsi has taken this to the end zone. There are others who could have, but this whole election integrity effort has been mounted. There's a team of the best of the best under Tulsi who've gone in and ripped it apart and absorbed the mountains of information that were available from in all these states, the citizens, all these Garland Favorito folks in Georgia, you probably know people like mm-hmm. that, fighting these for 4 years and just hang all the information that got surfaced through the lawsuits, the FOIAs, and so forth, as well as all this stuff from the Venezuelan defectors. It took a big team to absorb it all. Tulsi's really, I think, the hero of it. It also took a big brain to absorb it all. So she's not on the outs with anyone as far as I can tell. We got to see. I think that she's going to do something historic. My guess would be she's doing something historic at 3 p.m. The other thing I wanted to tell you is that testimony from Sydney did not help Trump.
Right.
Because once she acknowledged that his own lawyers had told him it was lost, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. I was in the room. They never said that. They wouldn't take a position. They were all mealy-mouthed. That's why Flynn finally stood up and said, what are you saying happened? What do you think happened on November 3rd? They were all mealy-mouthed. They would not tell Trump. They never told Trump he had lost that I saw.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, we'll get back into that. I'm glad you cleared that up. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. Very excited to welcome my guest, Patrick Byrne. You can follow him on X, at Patrick Byrne. EnemyWithinDocuSeries.com is where you can go to find his docuseries. And, of course, I knew you'd have some pertinent information about all of this. And as I was watching the Sidney Powell deposition, the reason I thought it was interesting is just I assumed she was telling the truth. I'd love if you could clarify it. But just it gave you a sense of sort of the chaos and that Trump knew he lost, and he knew he lost for all these good reasons, but that he just couldn't get people around him to do what they wanted. And it got into the whole, you know, controversy between her and, I guess, Rudy Giuliani. It's an interesting look into the chaos of the Trump administration in that in-between period between the election and January 6th. Of course, you were there. So if you want to start with that, how are you feeling about this here 5.5, 6 years later that something's actually happening? I mean, this is exciting.
This is very exciting. We know what they're going to find. We're very confident they're going to find what we have found. We actually have 5 hard drive images from 5 counties in 2020 that were Dominion hard systems. And in all 5 of them, and I released this yesterday on Emerald, but I got permission to release this, incidentally. So this is big news. And that is on the 5 that we examined, that we found something, and I think I'm confident to say they're going to find it in Fulton, Georgia. And that is, there's something called the DLLs in a computer system. That's the, I don't want to get too dolphin speak on you. It's a library of tools. So there's a great metaphor to explain it. Think of a big auto repair shop with 10 different cars and 10 different bays and a different mechanic working on each car. There's one big tool set that they all run to and grab whatever tool they need at the moment and then return. Computer systems, these have that. They have, it has a library of these tools. And the different programs that are running just go and access this one shared toolbox. That's your DLL, your library, digitized link library, I think it stands for. And that, if it has one change after certification, that invalidates the whole system, because It's just the point you want to bury a hidden script or you want to bury some hidden instructions. If you can slip it in there, that can be a recipe that does a mountain of work all over the place, runs all these different. So it's really important that be pristine. And once the system is certified, any change there destroys the absolute, instantly invalidates the system. We have found an average of 500 changes after certification. Wow. In the five machines we have found. One of them had 1,000. We're pretty comfortable that they're going to find that in Fulton. And what that means is that system, even Dominion and associated people will acknowledge one change in that after certification invalidates the entire system for the election, and we have found an average of 500 insertions and changes. These things are all cooked. It's all so pre-cooked, and that's the place where sort of the cooking is stored to be brought out on election day, speaking metaphorically. So I'm pretty confident that they opened up these machines yesterday and they found that. I can tell you another thing I'm very confident they found. So they raided on Wednesday. They opened up on Thursday. On Friday morning, Tulsi's telling the National Associated Secretary of State she wants to come talk to them. I'll tell you something else I'm pretty confident they found. Am I going on too long, Harrison?
No, I'm listening with rapt attention, sir. Go, please continue.
Okay. Well, first one. The other thing they will have found is there's 148,000 ballots in special segregated storage by judicial order. And those 148,000 ballots, there's a dozen affidavits that say the same thing. They are 93% Biden, 7% Trump. Every circle is perfectly filled in, like a computer, not a human. And they're mail-in ballots, but there's not a crease in any of them. And they're all together. So if we assume, which is impossible because mail-in ballots have to be folded. If you assume those were all fake, you could do the math. That means there are 148,000, about 10,000 were for Trump, 138,000 were for Biden, which means there was 128,000 of pro-Biden spread cooked into that little pie, little apple pie.
Right.
Well, there's 128,000 cooked into it. Trump only lost by 11,000 votes, 8 of them were that stack. So that's something they could check in 5 minutes. They got there. Remember those pictures of Tulsi standing outside?
Oh, yeah.
I would long odds she was calling the president and saying something like, Mr. President, I have put my eyes on these famous 148,000. That alone, that set of facts I've just told you alone, completely overthrows the Georgia election. Before we even get to there were 70,000 ballots with no images. And I mean, there's images, but no paper. And there's another 17,000 of other ballots with no paper, but just the images. And there's foreign connectivity. And there's this, that, and all this happy horse shit. And all these different places you lose. I mean, it's just a mountain. But the thing that you could see in 5 minutes is, or in 2 minutes, is just open up that one stack and look. And if those 148,000 are, in fact, uncreased mail-in ballots, as we've said, or is with perfectly filled in circles, you really have your whole answer right there. So my guess is that has something to do with why Tulsi was on site, because she could personally go and look at that and then call the president. There's only one person she was calling on her cell phone from that site. She didn't have to report to anybody else, I'm sure. So it's broken for them. That's why these people are out there. Anyway, so those are two big things I'm confident they found.
Well, those are two huge things. And I got to admit, I'm trying not to get too excited because I've been a little bit down on Trump. You know, I've sort of sparred with you because, you know, but you know a lot more than I do. And I'm 100% so willing to eat all of my words. And I'm just trying not to get too excited because this sounds really big. This sounds like it could be a gigantic deal. And I'm so praying that it is. I mean, the secretaries of state were the people who did this, right? I mean, we covered it back in 2020. Jocelyn Benson and all these others, you know, the five of the five states all coordinating with each other and talking about how they were getting, you know, lawfare, you know, funds ready to fight Trump if he tried to challenge the election. So, I mean, the fact that she's going to give a speech to the Secretary of State with Pam Bondi, I'm trying not to get too excited. Should I be excited, Patrick, or I mean, what do you think she's going to say?
I think at 3 p.m. I think that you should have somebody tuned in on there. I have this wonderful, my background person, Shannon, And she sort of, I'll have her tuned in on this. She's in the background. She's sort of mission control in my life. You know that movie, The Accountant, where Ben Affleck is out doing crazy stuff and he's got this kind of artistic woman who sits at back in mission control? That's what I have in my life. I'll have her.
Everybody needs one of those. No, we'll go to it. If it's, is it 3 p.m. Eastern time?
Yes.
So we'll be on air at 2 p.m. Central when they go to give this speech to the secretaries of state. I'm extremely excited about that. So what else can you tell us about this raid? Why Georgia in particular? Pennsylvania was full of fraud. Arizona was full of fraud. Why has Fulton County in particular become the epicenter of all of this?
Well, I think what's happened, there's two different ways to explain it. One is, there are prosecutions moving forward in the government. I'm not sure what's public and what isn't. So I think it's public that there are three grand juries and paneled in different places and looking at different aspects to things. This could have been triggered by one of them. It could also have been triggered directly, probably was, by Tulsi's own. She's had this working group of 20 people under her who were drawn, I think they're all patriots, and they were drawn from different parts of the three-letter agencies, and that group has really become an epicenter of absorbing everything that had to be absorbed, that all these citizens and citizen journalists and patriots had worked on and are Venezuelans coughed up. So that could be why it was triggered. But it's interesting that it was Tulsi. You know, she does have... It means that their national security authority, it tells me that this is all moved out of the realm of law enforcement,
criminal
law. And it's now understood as national security. We also noticed today, I think, the president declared a national emergency over Cuba. Let me tell you, this is really all Cuban. If you really want to know, this is freaking Fidel Castro's last gift to us. Fidel Castro always wanted to destroy the United States. This is the great Bolivarian dream. He cottoned on to this young army officer in Venezuela named Hugo Chavez, who was a bastard, whose father had not loved him, blah, blah, blah. And Fidel played that role and groomed him, got him to be this socialist Bolivarian revolutionary who then, well, he tried to overthrow his country in 92 or 93. He then got out of prison 4 years later and got elected. And then immediately started jamming the Constitution, doing the Barack Obama. You know, some people view the Constitution as the rules of the game to which we all agree. We're all going to cooperate to the sense that we're going to follow those rules as we pursue our different visions of how to make our country better. But there are some people who, especially totalitarians, tyrants, see those constitutions as a set of handcuffs. They have this vision of what they want to do, and this constitution is a set of handcuffs, so they want to break it as soon as they got in. Hugo Chavez, anyway, so that's what Hugo Chavez said. This really ultimately, you got to say China has its role, Russia, Iran, they all have roles, and I'm sure they contributed, but ultimately this is the dream of Fidel Castro. And he got Venezuela conquered, and then they used the massive wealth of the minerals they've looted, we think, $2.7 trillion, maybe $4 trillion. This cartel did, as their own people when I was there 6 years ago, 7 years ago, there was not just starvation, it was cannibalism.
Yeah.
It was, so, this is actually, you gotta think of Cuba and Venezuela as what we're up against here in our hemisphere, without going into the people behind the people. This has all been a Venezuelan-Cuban program, and it used to be Cuba was the big brother. Cuba really is the Venezuelan cartel has been chafing. Maduro was chafing in Cuba, like he no longer wanted to be the little brother. But anyway, this has really been a Cuban intelligence, Venezuelan operation to overthrow our country for 2 decades. And they had some help from Russia and Iran and China and some funding and so forth. But this has really been a Cuban-Venezuelan dream to overthrow the U.S. And I'll close on this note. Everybody laughs at that in America because they see these guys as crummy little, you know, banana republics. It's not true. Venezuela had immense wealth, and Cuba is Leninists, you know, they're wonderful at espionage. Mm. They're wonderful at espionage. And they're masters of that. And it doesn't matter that they're soldiers trained with broomsticks because they're so broke and stuff. None of that matters. What matters is they've penetrated, the Cuban intelligence has penetrated the U.S. and is really to blame for what happened.
Well, I'm not exactly surprised when you see the number of openly communist people in this country who, you know, see Cuba as an example of, you know, success of the revolution. So, you know, they probably have a lot of collaborators, you know, willing to work with them here. So is it a coincidence that this occurred a few weeks after the Venezuela raid, or are these two things related in some way?
I think it's all deeply linked. I think it's all deeply linked. It could well be that Trump's not. I know some things that were done that were actually acknowledged in that confession from Hugo Carvajal, the military intelligence chief who's sitting in prison, acknowledged a bunch of things that are so damaging to the national security of the United States that Cuba was part of. And so this was, in fact, all a plan. Then hitting us with COVID, these BLM people, they were trained down in Venezuela. They were given $10 million and such. They were, you know, this has been a communist program driven by those folks to destabilize our society. I think COVID was part of that. And it was all to position us to jam down this fake election. And then we got to this crazy phase of normalization where suddenly Americans were told for the first time in our lives, there's such a thing as misinformation and disinformation, and we're going to be able to censor you and all this crazy stuff. We never thought. And the judiciary just went along with it all. The judiciary just went along with all. This is a Maoist, this is a very all of society revolution, people's revolution, every level of society at once, they were ready. So even though this was all blatantly unconstitutional, any lawyer who picked up a pen suddenly has Project 65 come after them.
Right.
And say, and you know, to get them disbarred. So basically lawyers backed away. This was all a carefully plotted Bolshevik revolution. A bunch of dirty Bolsheviks overthrew the United States. They succeeded for 4 years.
And you know what?
We were never supposed to get it back. We were never supposed to get a second chance, you know.
I really am glad to know that Trump is making the most out of this, because you're exactly right. And the funny thing about it is that the left can't even come up with reasons to oppose it. You know, they're saying, well, this is about Trump wants to cancel the midterms, or he's just mad that it, but it's like they really have nothing. I mean, you could, you know, they can take the ICE stuff out of context, but like, they really got nothing. You got to give up the evidence. And if they didn't do anything wrong, then the evidence would prove that out. So clearly, like, you don't try to hide evidence if you haven't done something wrong. I mean, what comes from this, Patrick? Like, where do we go from here? Is everybody going to get arrested? Do we undo Biden's administration? Like, I don't even know how we handle this. If it's really just proven incontrovertibly in court officially that they stole the election, what happens next?
Boy, there's so many things that have to be filed. The thing is that we have probably a couple dozen senators in the same position. They know, with the whole establishment knows about this. Republicans are in on it. Democrats are in on it. Governors, all of them know this. I mean, I shouldn't say all of them. There's a bunch of them in on this. Governor Kemp. I'm in Florida. The Governor Kemp next door in Georgia. Raffensperger, those guys were all part of this. Secretaries of State were part of it. That's where the first place they got captured, because the Secretaries of State really are in charge of the elections. So this was an overthrow of the United States of America. This was World War III. All these Americans who have wondered, your generation, oh, we never got our great, we were not the great generation because we didn't get our chance. This was the chance. This is World War III. And you've acquitted yourself beautifully, Harrison, I'll add. But this is World War III. And it was just done in a way that Americans weren't too familiar with.
Well, it still seems like it's happening under the surface. You know, I always use the imagery, you know, it's like the bubbles rising to the top, like something's happening under the water. I can't quite tell, but you get the picture of Tulsi around the corner and you get these little hints, and it's like something big is moving beneath the surface. I really can't wait to find out what it is. And again, I'm going to be so happy to eat all the words I ever said about doubting Trump. I'm so ready for that. And he seems to be making that point too. Did you see his Truth post, Truth Social post today? It has Alex and it had Owen Schroyer. It might have had me in there, but it's Trump saying, chill out, relax, let him cook. You panickins are, you know, want this to happen too fast. I mean, I would love for that to be true. And he does seem to be signaling that. What's next? what should we be looking for? Are there going to be other raids on other places, or is it all going to start with Fulton County and grow out from there? What's going on behind the scenes here?
Well, that video actually took a slap at Flynn and me as well. And my answer, first, I'm told that a guy named Dilley in the White House, who does good video work, but he seems to always be wanting to slap at Flynn. I'm told that Trump may not even have seen that video, that some of the stuff getting posted isn't, he doesn't even, he's posting a lot that, but Dilley, this guy Dilley made that video, and he seems to maybe be on someone's payroll to take slaps at Flynn. And my answer, what it says is, oh, that we said that he would stay president. Well, he had to do what we were suggesting he do. He had to lift the finger to stay president. He had to do what he just did 2 days ago. He had to go actually in under his authorities, and raid that. And he had the authority to. He had the authority to. And under stuff Obama had signed, he had the authority to. And that's what we were there to tell him. And you know what's weird? That's another misstatement of Sidney's. So I don't mean to pick a fight with Sidney Powell. Sidney Powell and I are never going to go on a camping trip together. She's been very public, as she was several years ago. We're not friendly. I walked away from her, as did a bunch of people, after working with her for 1 week. And so there's no love lost between Sidney and me. I mean, after in March. And defend the Republic. Now I want to let sleeping dogs lie, I feel. However, that video is very concerning to me because she said two things that helped the prosecution and neither of them were true from what I observed. Now, she may have been part of other conversations where Pat Cipollone and the other lawyers were saying, Mr. President, you lost, you lost, you lost. I was in that that famous 4.5 hour conversation. The whole, one of the nauseating things about it is they would say, take no such position. They absolutely did not take that position. They took the position that they wouldn't take. They were just mealy-mouthed until finally at one point General Flynn sort of popped up. I described in my book and very gently, we were all so flabbergasted. He very gently said, so what are you saying, Pat? What is it you think happened on November 3rd? Could we get clear about that? And Pat Cipollone mealy-mouthed, waffle, waffle, waffled, and then he finally said, well, sir, I'm not your, Mr. President, I'm your White House attorney, not your campaign attorney. So this mealy-mouthed nothing burger. So it's very strange that that Sidney Powell would have told the DOJ that actually that they told Trump, because that was a key element in prosecuting President Trump, you know. Do you understand why?
Yeah, the way the lawyers were asking the question, they were clearly trying to elicit that answer.
Yeah, well, to charge Trump with insurrection, they had to maintain that his state of mind was he had lost and was cooking up all this other stuff. So it helps them very much for Sidney to have said, yes, those three lawyers told Trump that he lost. It helped them bring charge, you know, it helped them cook that stuff up against Trump. And it's especially disturbing to me because I was in the entire 4.5 hour conversation. That's just flatly untrue. They never took that position. Now, like I say, maybe there were some other positions they were talking about, some other meetings. I don't know the whole DOJ, and there was something else she just said. Besides that, she just said something else that was not at all true in that little clip we saw.
Well, that's very well. I'm sorry for showing the audience things that weren't true. I just thought it was interesting because we were sort of speculating.
It's not your fault. It's Sidney's fault. Sidney was saying stuff. What I'm suggesting is Sidney was saying stuff that helped the prosecution.
Right.
She yeah. Anyway, but no, it's key that it's amazing to me that I've never seen that clip. It's absolutely false, and I was in the room.
Wow.
I bet she would say that. But no, it's very, what is key is that the other stuff being said, everything that we were saying 5 years ago is bubbling up. Yeah, I think you can assume that there's other Atlantas. I don't know. You want me to keep, you take the last minute. What else do you want to know?
Oh, I'd love to get more into that. I mean, can you stay with us for the the rest of the hour?
Sure. Let me give you another 45 seconds to tell you what's really been happening behind the scenes. Where some people all year have been telling Trump, we got to find the guy who's going to grab it, who's going to come forward and says, yes, it was me. I rigged the 2020 election. And those were more like people who had never actually prosecuted anyone. A lot of smart people, a lot of smart lawyers, but they never prosecuted anybody. The prosecutor involved who knows this stuff is named Stephanie Lambert, and she's been saying no. Just go in, and there's all these different places where they broke the law, where they destroyed records, they did this, that. Just arrest them for that, start grinding them, and work your way up like every other prosecution that ever occurred in history. Let's just try that. Well, finally, they got fed up and they did that. I think that might be part of what's happening.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. More on the other side, folks. Don't go anywhere.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now look here, even to this very day I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello friends, welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements. Sometimes we have BOGO Supps. We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Do
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you live from our headquarters here in Austin, Texas. Huge things happening across the board today. And we'll be eagerly awaiting an address to the Secretary of State's gathering by Tulsi Gabbard and Pam Bondi. I do want to tell you about a new product that we have on thealexjonesstore.com. Of course, you may know Optimal Human is one of my favorite products at thealexjonesstore.com. It's a superfood drink mix, one of the green drink mix. There are a lot available. This one, to me, is the best. And I started drinking it because I first thought, well, it's just a bunch of vitamins, and I drank it right before going to bed, and then I was up all night. I didn't realize how much energy this stuff gave you, but it gives you incredible energy on top of all the other, you know, nutrients and, supplementation that's involved in it. But Optimal Human is a fantastic brand, and now they have this new Mind Fuel Energy Shot, Nootropic Energy Shots. They're berry flavored. They taste amazing. No caffeine, no sugar. A lot of the other energy drinks, they just pump you full of caffeine and it makes you crash later, or the sugar makes you jittery. This stuff is long-lasting, pure energy. It's called Mind Fuel, and it's so good we have to hide it around the office. We like having the boxes here to be able to show you, but then the crew drinks it all and we don't have any left. We really do love this stuff, and you will too. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and get it at an introductory price and keep us on the air and in the fight. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. With that, I'm very happy again to be talking to Patrick Byrne. You can go to Enemy Within docuseries to see some of his incredible work and follow him on X at Patrick Byrne. That's B-Y-R-N-E. And I actually have a video here, Patrick, of 20-year Fulton County election official Susan Voiles talking about what you were just talking about, those 145,000 ballots that were not creased, that appeared to be printed. I want to go to this just so people can get the full context of what you were referencing and then get your comments on the other side. Again, this is Susan Voiles. She was a Fulton County election official for 20 years. Here's what she saw on 2020, on election day in 2020.
I've seen ballots. I've seen, I've touched ballots. I've felt ballots. The first thing that struck me, though, wasn't the way the ballot was marked. It was how clean these ballots were. And that's where the word pristine came from, because That was the only word that came to mind. I said, these are so clean. These are pristine. And I was running my hand over them, and I said to my partner, Barbara, I said, Barbara, look at these. These are almost immaculate. And then I noticed on the bubble that was for Joseph R. Biden, there was a slight eclipse, but I could tell these had been printed. And then as we went through this batch of 110, which should have only been 100, 107 of them all had this little eclipse for Biden. The next thing I saw was I started glancing down the ballot, and every vote on every ballot, both sides, even soil and conservation, was exactly the same.
What about the referendums?
They were exactly the same.
What are the chances of that?
I'd say that's a statistical impossibility. I've done this forever, and most people forget something on a ballot.
And they all voted for the same thing.
They did.
Biden, Ossoff, Warnock, soil and water amendments, it was all the same.
Everything was the same, and they were obviously pre-printed. They tried to tell me the things that they were, but I knew that they weren't that. They couldn't have been adjudicated ballots. These were pre-printed ballots. This is the part that I just am so sure of. I think some of the test ballots from prior to the election made their way into some of these batches. There were 800 in this box. Out of all those, there were less than 40 for Trump and 7 for Jorgensen. And as long as I've been doing this, I have never seen odds like that.
So what's that? Somebody do the math. 96%. 95%. For Biden, I mean, that's unheard of. Plus, soil and water is the same. Amendments are the same. Down ballots the same. Council, mayor, whatever the referendums. This is a statistical impossibility, right? So you saw that. And what about the other thing? They weren't folded.
Correct.
No crease.
As I ran my hand over these, there was no wear on them. Even when the ballot is sitting on your kitchen table, soil from your hands gets on there. Soil from somebody else's hands when they're opening the ballot gets on there. These were the cleanest ballots I have ever in my life seen.
And if you got to deliver them back in an envelope, Susie, and that's the law,
that's
they
right.
have to be in an envelope. Envelope has to be sealed, and you sign across the seal. Are these magic ballots? Did somebody steam clean them? How are they not folded?
That was the first thing that drew my attention, was the fact that they were so... And then the paper felt different. There was just such an anomaly to these ballots.
Again, that alone would be more than 10 times more than enough to win Georgia for Biden, just those 140,000 votes. And again, you just hear the lady. She's just trustworthy. I trust her. How has this not been dealt with already? I mean, that's amazing. So what you are saying is that Tulsi Gabbard probably, as long as she just saw that those ballots still existed, that's sort of all the proof they needed. And you're sort of speculating that they did find those.
Yes, I'm confident. Well, it's kind of interesting. Those ballots have a very interesting history because they had to be saved for 22 months by federal law. In that 22 months, lawsuits got filed that involved those ballots. And there's a specific judicial order to take those ballots and segregate them under special lock and key. And somewhere in there, Fulton County, which is to say Atlanta, hired the two most prominent criminal defense attorneys in the state. And they defended them. And then there were a couple years of people fighting to get access to them. So first of all, the first principle we teach around the world is an election without transparency has zero reliability.
Right.
So it's quite strange. It's citizens are supposed to be able to inspect this. Many states have constitutional provisions about it. You know, you don't get to find out how Harris and Smith voted, but you can examine all the other. It's supposed to be completely transparent. Instead, we discovered at these key junctures, there was complete black box, and any lawyer who tried to help himself gets disbarred and so forth. And yeah, there was a whole master plan, and it turns out that's just what they did in Venezuela. They perfected that in Venezuela. When Hugo Chavez started rigging the elections, which he first did in 2004, a lot of the techniques he used are what we saw, and they included lawfare techniques, because Venezuela was a real country with real law and real courts and so forth, and they had this whole parallel legal effort at the same time, and that real media effort. They had everything covered at once. So that should obviously, but the good part of this now is as they've shoved in our face for 5 years, all the institutions that looked at this and they found nothing. Oh, but 60 judges looked at this and they saw nothing. Our answer going forward, as once this all gets exposed, which may be in a few minutes on, I strongly suspect, on C-SPAN, once this all gets exposed, we can be the ones who say, how corrupt is the judiciary? 60 judges looked at this pig slop, and they didn't see anything
right.
worth investigating. Let anyone else know. How, you know, that, so it becomes our point, not their point. You following me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is the thing about this. I mean, if you're going to take down the cabal, the Obama, Biden, I mean, this cabal, 2020 election is probably a pretty good place to start. I mean, if you can disprove that, I think that starts unraveling and it goes everywhere and it gets everybody.
I can take it down all the way back to 2015, even late 2014. Not publicly, but this was all happening, certainly Thanksgiving 2015, there was a coup in motion, and I was part of it, as I've explained before. It's not a theory. I was part of it. I was tricked. I was cooperating because I thought something else, but I was part of it. So this really all started under Comey, Brennan, and Obama, Thanksgiving 2015. But there's actually some evidence to me that it was running by late 2014. They were putting in place things. They were thinking this about how they were going to do this.
Even without Trump in the offing, because he hadn't announced or anything yet, this was they were going to run this sort of no matter what.
Yeah. They certainly had a Russian, I know they definitely had a Russian scandal brewing on the Republican Party. It didn't matter if it was who it was. Maria Butina told me her mission was to befriend anyone from the Cruz, Rubio, or Trump camps. Well, actually, the Hillary, Cruz, Rubio, or Trump. She was supposed to have a friends in, so whoever became president, Russia had a back channel to them. So this was all they were setting up, and that got going 4 months before Trump came down an escalator. In fact, I'll give you a big, you want me to keep going or I'm giving you too much?
Please hit me.
Okay. Those who are investigating the Russia hoax are, you know, the official story is Crossfire Hurricane started in August of 2016. They've dug down and they know that's not true. They know they're back. They're trying to get, but they have said publicly, we can't get past early 2016. The CIA is blocking them. Well, what's on the other side of that wall is my story. And if you want to watch the movie, The Enemy Within, you'll see the story of what was, I was on the other side of that wall and they're not protecting me. They're trying to silence my story. Me and some other people. But if you want to know what is being kept from, you know, literally the prosecutor down here in Miami is saying the CIA is blocking us from getting past early 2016. If you want to know what happened before then, just see the movie that Michael Flynn made about my life called The Enemy Within, or read my book, Danger Close. Here's something. So I know that it was being set up from July 2015 when I was first meeting Maria. But importantly, there's somebody, so we know it was by July 2015 Ford. I know that they were maneuvering and setting up the Republican Party. In February of 2015, Maria Butina came to the United States the first time though. And she was with her boyfriend in Washington, D.C. No, she was with the Central Bank of Russia came over, and she was part of that delegation. While she was here, she went to a foreign correspondent's lunch. Sorry, a lunch that occurs every 2 weeks at a think tank in Washington, D.C. And it's open to senators and congressmen and press, both domestic and foreign. Usually the foreign would be like from England or Germany or something. But in this case, she showed up. This was February 2015. She showed up and, you know, identified herself. She had press credentials from Russia, stood up and asked a question like any journalist, conducted herself okay. But after that luncheon, that think tank had a meeting and agreed, if that Russian girl comes back in a couple of weeks, don't let her in. It makes people uncomfortable, a Russian here, here's, you know, all this tension. That person got a phone call the next day from Peter Strzok of the FBI saying, no, we know about Maria. We understand that she was there and you want to exclude her in the future. Don't do that. Don't worry. We got our eyes on her. Just let her swim freely. So that tells you that from February 2015, the FBI was setting up the Russian collusion. So I just helped the prosecutor get a year earlier than he's gotten so far. I can get him about 6 months earlier than that. But I'm under this ban. No one can talk to me. Todd Blanche put this ban. No one can talk to me. Intelligence, no one can talk to me. We find ways around it, but I'm under this very unique ban. The CIA, I'll say this publicly, the CIA sent Susie Wiles orders that one person who can have no access to Donald Trump or the White House is Patrick Byrne.
Wow.
Kind of interesting. Let's tell you something.
That's extremely interesting. And do you think that was all in service of like setting up the Ukraine war? That's what I was suspecting, or at least I didn't think it was a coincidence that there was the Russia collusion hoax at the same time that we were overthrowing the Russian friendly government of Ukraine. Those all seemed intertwined to me, and that timing would kind of make sense, right? It's 2014. They overthrow Ukraine. By 2015, they're setting up the Republicans to be Russian traitors. Did that have anything to do with it?
It's the same people behind it. See, I think this Ukraine war, I'm anti-war in general. I regret any war I'm anti-war, but the Ukraine war is the most contrived war of my lifetime. We generated it. We completely engineered it so this happened. And so Putin invaded, but it was our engine. We engineered it.
Yep.
And it seems to me that Obama, Biden, and Hillary, and to be honest, the Bushies, mm-hmm. have been dead set that we have to have a war in Ukraine. It was completely, I was raised in politics by some real hawks, by Ronald Reagan's chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Jack Vesey, was sort of my sea daddy, as they say. So I have a very, I mean, this is the founder of the Newcomb to the Glow Society. But in early 2015, he took me to see Schultz and Kissinger. And they all three, who had fought in World War II, they were all veterans of World War II, thought it was insane in early 2015 that we were building to trigger World War III over Ukraine rather than just accept it be neutral. Let it be neutral, like Finland, like Switzerland. We had no reason to pull it into NATO, and that we were provoking a great power. We were going to provoke World War III by pulling them into NATO. So we've been engineering this just for no good geopolitical reason. There's no national security reason at all. We needed to pull that into NATO. And, you know, we always date the war beginning to February 24th is when the people came, when Putin came across the border. But for a week before that, Zelensky was shelling his own population, the Russian population in eastern Ukraine. He right. was shelling. And killed, I think, 8,000 people. So Putin, you know, so we engineered and designed this war and kicked it off.
Absolutely. And he'd been shelling them for the whole time, right? I mean, they separated after that 2014 coup. Totally legal. We orchestrated Open Society, Victoria Nuland. I mean, we've told the story enough, here, but it's, again, not a coincidence that at the same time, the FBI is sending Russian agents to go try to, frame the Republicans as Russians. And I think, you know, the anti-Russian activity around Donald Trump and framing him as a Russian, I mean, that very directly contributed to the willingness of liberals in this country to accept the Ukraine war because big bad Putin has to be stopped. You know, it's all obviously part of the same psychological operation. But General Flynn actually put out a very long and complimentary post about you today, or I guess this was yesterday, saying with the recent law enforcement operations in Fulton County, looking back since 2020, one person has been consistently and has given much to the fight to expose Barack Obama-led coup d'etat is Patrick Byrne. So he, of course, celebrates you as not being a sunshine patriot, but a winter soldier. And this is in response to a post by Publius that says, ex-Dominion voting system executive Eric Coomer admitted under oath to discussing voting equipment, adjudication software, and source code with foreign nationals, including Serbians who could remotely troubleshoot in Denver. What was this about? Did this lead to the raid on the election office, or is this something separate? What can you tell us about Eric Coomer and his testimony on the 27th of January of this year?
Well, he did testify on Tuesday. He really tried to get out of it. He had his lawyer write 10 days beforehand and requested a judge that said, okay, I'll come testify, but you can't ask me about Venezuela, China, or Serbia. The judge said no to that. The day of the deposition, he and his lawyer were overheard in the lobby arguing about we have to derail this. We cannot let this deposition go forward. His lawyer came in and his lawyer muscled up, bumped up on, actually he Peter Tichtin, the guy out in the lobby, he got sort of in a confrontation with Peter Tichtin. He got physically aggressive, and Tichtin came into the conference room where the deposition, and the lawyer came in and deliberately got in and was physical in a way, trying to provoke a fight. It turned out we separated them. I separated him. It turned out, and then he immediately got the judge on the phone. They were just trying to derail our conversation. They were just trying to derail the deposition. They did not want Eric Coomer to have to testify. So, and then he testified, and I can't go into the substance of what he testified. Now, that written responses to interrogatories, which he provided a few days before, is where he acknowledged that, yes, while a Dominion employee, and this is a matter, this is on the docket in the public record, anyone can go look it up, he admitted that as a Dominion employee, he met with foreign nationals discussing source code, processes, all the details of the technology, both abroad and domestically. But he's now, it was kind of interesting. I felt bad for the guy, even though the guy is the devil. I felt bad for him in the deposition. I was always taught you try to find something nice to say about somebody. I can find one nice thing to say about him. He is an elite climber, a 512D climber, and put up, which is very, very, that's an elite climber. I'm a duffer as a climber. I was always, not many climbers are 235 pounds. But anyway, but other than that, the guy's the devil himself. And I won't tell you some things that came out. I learned that were new to me, but he's really, one thing I can share is that there is quite a tattoo under his arm. He kept his shirt on. And I can confirm there's quite a tattoo there. And other people have said, and other stories have been written that say that's the devil, that's the Satanist tattoo of the Screaming Pope. You Google Screaming Pope, you see that that's on his forearm. So I can confirm with my own eyes that I saw, but I can't go into the substance of his testimony other than 15 minutes in, he reached that point where he had to either tell the truth or just bite the bullet and begin lying. There was no mix. And 15 minutes in, I could see him psychically just bite the bullet and begin lying through his teeth. He didn't know what we had. We have everything already. It was just a matter to see how far he would go. Yeah, he has that, something like that tattooed on his arm. Oh, it is, other stories have been written confirming that. I didn't see it. I just saw the tip of a big tattoo coming out of his sleeve that was not inconsistent with that, which is a Satanist tattoo, incidentally. And there's other people contacting that he's had quite a bad record back to high school. Like people who knew him in high school have stories about basically being what they thought was a Nazi. Oh. And out and out Nazi kind of stuff and being physically violent and such. It's just not a good guy. He's a complicated guy. And my guess is he'll never see justice because he's fine. My guess is he'll find some other corner of the world to live in, that will take him.
Well, but this was your lawsuit, right? It was, Byrne versus Coomer is the name of the lawsuit. What is the lawsuit over? What's the contention?
Well, that the movie, The Deep Rig, hosted Joe Altman's allegation that this guy, that we say he rigged the election. Joe Altman says they heard the guy on an Antifa Zoom call say something like, don't worry about this election. I got this beat. Don't worry about Trump winning. I've got this rigged or something. So part of it is that, part of it is just the broader set of allegations that he is the chief technical officer or chief product officer of Dominion. And before that, Sequoia built all this technology. It's kind of funny. We're trying to find the people who built the technology because under oath, I can tell you, everyone sort of points everywhere else. Nobody even knows what a programmer is under oath. It's always somebody in some other part of the world. It's not them, not them.
Oh my God.
I think that what we are seeing in the beginnings of the defense take place, though, Dominion's going to say, so I told you about how there was an average of 500 changes to the box after certification. Anyone breaks certification. They are going to say, well, we shipped it out right while it was at the town. The town clerk let it get polluted and let these get installed. But you talk to the town clerks, and the town clerks across America are basically grandmothers. They're well-meaning grandmothers, lovely people performing their civic duty, but they don't really run the elections. You know how they run the election? They have Dominion send them a representative, and the Dominion guy runs everything. And that, you know, they're 75 years old, and they say, well, the Dominion representative came, and he ran the election for me. So, you know, they're doing this. But let me tell you, each of these boxes has an average of 500 changes after certification to their library of recipes. It's in an instant, any one of those invalidates the certification, and they don't even dispute that.
Very big things happening. Obviously, we're going to be tuned into C-SPAN, and as soon as Tulsi Gabbard and Pam Bondi start giving the address to the Secretaries of State, we will tune into that. Thank you so much for being with us, Patrick. Patrick Byrne at Patrick Byrne on X. Just enemywithindocuseries.com. That's enemywithindocuseries.com, where you can go see the video of a little bit of what Patrick was hinting out there. Last 30 seconds, what do you expect to happen next?
I think this is just going to accelerate. They have broken, they've crossed the Rubicon, they found what I'm confident they found 2 days ago, and they now know we've already found, we and the citizens across America have found all the places they were able to verify. It's just going to accelerate.
It's just so exciting. Thank you, sir. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
We're gonna make it, men!
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home.
We have all kinds of supplements.
Sometimes we have BOGO stuffs.
We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Actually, I may have misled you. I made a mistake. I was thinking I was going to be hosting for another hour, but lucky me and lucky you, Jay Dyer is here to take over. So I'm going to pass it to him in just a second. But I wanted to just spend this 5 minutes here talking about what's going on in Iran. From Sprinter Press, the U.S. military is massively transporting air defense systems from the continent to the Middle East in anticipation of an expected strike against Iran and a retaliatory attack. And, you know, we've been hearing this a lot. I wonder if this isn't part of maybe Trump's strategy that, like, you keep saying you're going to attack, you keep saying you're going to attack, and, you know, eventually you are going to attack, but by that point, you'll have threatened it so many times that nobody takes it seriously. So this is probably the third or fourth time in the last 6 months that there's been a buildup, military buildup around Iran. But it seems a little different this time. Iran threatened EU countries with terror designation. Several European countries had previously blocked the European Union from designating the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps a terrorist organization. But they were threatened to do so by the IRGC Quds Force, according to several political sources. According to the sources, the countries have been warned that the Quds Force, a branch of the IRGC that operates abroad, there could be consequences should the designation go through. So again, just the drive to destroy Iran, the drive to go to war with Iran, it's just like it's a thirst they have to quench. And they're just attacking it in every possible way they can. You know, began with the strikes on the facilities in Fordo, and we thought that was it. 6 months later, it's like building up to another one, and there's all these riots that are inspired or coordinated or entirely created by Mossad and other international operators. That didn't really work, but we're still pushing with no end in sight. Iran's top diplomat says there are no plans for talks with the U.S. Iran's foreign minister announced Friday that his country is ready for dialogue to resolve tensions, but there are no concrete plans for talks with the United States, even as Tehran faces the threat of U.S. military action in response to the killing of peaceful demonstrators over possible mass executions. The minister spoke in Istanbul, where he arrived earlier in the day for talks with Turkish officials. Ankara has been working to reduce tensions in the wider region following threats of a possible U.S. military strike against Iran. And yet again, I just have to wonder, are they not even going to pretend this is for our own sake? Like, at least in June of last year, they had the threat of nuclear annihilation to hang over us and said, we got to stop them from ever having a bomb. They're not even saying that at this point. They're just sort of saying, we're just going to attack Iran. We have to, because insert excuse. At this point, it's killing protesters. We're not even sure that happened, but also something about ballistic missiles, which we told you early on, that was a complete no-go, a ridiculous request that was never going to be honored. So, but they're just trying. They're poking the bear and poking the bear and are desperate for this. Iran ready to resume nuclear talks with U.S., prepared for, quote, war or diplomacy. That story at Infowars.com. Trump tells Iran to drop nuclear aims and stop killing protesters to avoid military action. Donald Trump says he's told Iran he has to do two things to avoid military action as the U.S. builds up forces in the Gulf. Number one, no nuclear. And number two, stop killing protesters. The U.S. president said, adding that, quote, they are killing them by the thousands. Why Iran's response to the U.S. could be different this time, meaning a lot more dangerous. Since last time, there was a lot of coordinated action. There was a lot of behind-the-scenes agreements of who to bomb and where to bomb. And Iran, you know, kept their hands off of American military, especially, you know, they didn't kill any American servicemen. Might not be the same this time. And then we have this. Russia is ready to evacuate staff from Iran's nuclear plant if necessary, TASS TASS reports. So they apparently think something is coming. So I just didn't want to leave you this Friday afternoon without a warning that this weekend could see us plunge into yet another ridiculous Middle East war with no discernible end in sight. With that, I say have a good weekend. Jay Dyer takes over. As soon as we're back from a short commercial break, go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to support us. Get yourself a knife. Get some Optimal Humans, some mind fuel. You'll love it. I promise. Stay tuned. Jay Dyer takes over in 90 seconds.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Welcome to the 4th hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. Today we're going to be getting into some ancient mystery religion history with Babylon. And if you notice this week, there's a great conversation between our buddy Sam Tripoli and Alex Jones. And they talked about the way that today's system really is the same as the ancient pagan imperial systems with pagan religion, including the trans agenda, all of that. It all ties in together. And so Jamie's going to give us a bit of a history lesson today while I chime in and comment.
But you hear a lot of people talk about the Babylonian Brotherhood and things like that. So I thought it would be fun for us to go back in time a little bit. And I read this chonker, The Babylonians, Folio Society by H.W.F. Sags. And it was all about ancient Babylon and Assyria, their ways, practices, gods and goddesses, and all things Babylon. And I also, yes? Were you going to say something?
No.
Okay. Along with that, we were reading this blubber book right here, Genesis and the Synchronized Biblically Endorsed Extra Biblical Text. Now, I know these aren't canon, but they do reference them in scriptures. So this was really interesting because it went through Genesis, Enoch, Jasher, and Jubilees in chronological order. So it was filling in some gaps. So we've got some Anunnaki anarchy going on here, right?
All right. Where do we begin? Babylon?
Well, the third book I was just going to mention real quick was Kingship and the Gods. And this is where it gets really crazy, because if you think history is dusty and boring, that is wrong, because it's very violent and sexy and bloody and scandalous. So are you prepared to learn about what ancient Babylon was like?
Yeah, we need to know, because again, we live in Babylon now. We talked about Hollywood Babylon. People have made that comparison. People like Kenneth Anger that were students of Crowley. He made a lot of avant-garde films, and I wrote three books, Esoteric Hollywood 1, 2, and 3, about the same kind of idea that we live in Babylon now. We're not free from the ancient pagan systems. The world system as it is now is the exact same. So tell us about Babylon.
Well, it seems like piecing together all of these different narratives and the Greek history, the Mesopotamian history, the biblical Israelite history. So we're trying to put together a puzzle with a lot of different pieces, right? Historically. And this book is primarily archaeology, mm-hmm. artifacts, things like that, right? Not super primarily scripture, but it is from a Christian point of view. But before the flood, there were the Watchers who fell and had a hybridization of humanity, right?
Genesis 6, right?
Right. So you've got Genesis 6, you've got them building these cities that happened before the flood that they found later on. So you have Eridu, you have Uruk, Babylon, these types of cities that were inhabited by beings. I know this is weird, but it's all in the history.
The gods.
Yeah, the gods. And so each god or demigod had its own city, and Babylon was one of them. So Inanna had Uruk, Enki had Eridu. And after the flood, these civilizations were wiped out. These beings that did the hybridization, they were punished and cast out or turned somewhere else. And the cities were now empty, but they had to be populated again after the flood. And this is where you get priestcrafts that have to mimic the sort of supernatural powers and technological advancements that these gods had pre-flood.
Right. Genesis 6 is citing the Book of Enoch, which talks about this weird hybridization and this idea that there was the offspring of the sun, which were the sons of God, supposedly the angels that fell. This is one of the possible ways of reading. There's other people that read it in terms of it being important men in history, you know, key figures. Hercules was actually just a dude, not a god, that kind of stuff. So there's different ways to read these texts. But the way that a lot of the Old Testament texts, the Deuterocanonical texts, for example, the Book of Judith and others, they actually read it as this is where we've got the myth of the Titans. So there is biblical credence, not just in Jude 3 in the Book of Enoch, but in other places for this idea.
Mm-hmm. And we are seeing three distinct languages coming out in the very beginning of history. We have Sumerian, and we have Hebrew, which is very ancient, and also some kind of mystery language. And we also have the migration of the Amorites, which are talked about in the Bible, right? So these were the giants after the flood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that the epics, where we get a lot of this history, Epic of Gilgamesh and things like that, he was one of the first, like you would say, superheroes, right? So you have this continuation of the Marvel, Thor, all of these gods. I can't imagine them not making a Gilgamesh movie in the future, maybe. What do you think?
I don't think it's not popular enough.
Oh, okay.
And it's not gay enough.
So,
does he touch butts? That's all that really matters. That's the only thing that matters, and all that ever matters is that. But go ahead.
There is a lot of that going on.
I know.
In this, because that's where you get into goddess worship. So a lot of people think that a matriarchy or some kind of goddess worshiping culture is just, you know, like pregnant ladies sitting on lounge chairs being fanned by palm leaves and fed grapes. No, it is temple prostitution. It is, if you want to get into that part, one of the practices of the Babylonians, and this was ubiquitous everywhere in the ancient world all the way up until Christendom, is the practice of leaving your infant out to exposure, right? Yeah. So, you know, we have this big problem today with abortion, but in the ancient world, it was the entire, well, it was the patriarchy family actually who would decide if we had too many girls, if they didn't like the way the baby looked, if it was deformed. They would say no, and they would just leave it outside the city. And this,
which still exists in some places today.
Yeah. This was super normalized until after the incarnation. So back to the beginning, the Amorites, these were the groups, Goliath, the giants they talk about that when the Israelites go into Canaan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these are the same groups of people who are inhabiting these temples in the ancient cities and becoming the priestcraft. So they were very fierce. They were described as being tall as cedars. You know, the Bible talks about King Og, right, of the giants.
Right, and, you know, Goliath, same situation.
Right, and they were also known for their worship of these distinct gods, Baal and Molech, and these sacrificial fertility gods, right?
Speaking of that, you know, in the book of Numbers, there's this story where the Israelites are tempted with, they call it Baal Peor. And if you understand what that means in the Hebrew, that's referring to a situation that's called Lord of the Open Holes. So this is a deity that's worshipped that has to do with bodily parts and body fluids. And this is, again, it sounds really gross, but that's exactly the type of sort of focus of our culture today, the way that it's gone with this Babylonian emphasis. It's nothing new. It's an ancient religion that's still here.
And this comes from a distinct race or like a lineage of people after the flood that still had some kind of genetic, what would you call it?
It's called gigantism.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were also very wild. You have the Akkadians. So you have Babylon and Akkadia always warring against each other. So the whole world is like city states who worship their cult god, and those go to war for each other and against each other.
Yeah, like Babel was the attempt at a first world government.
Right. So after these main gods have departed, you have the priestcraft trying to control the city with prestidigitation instead of this advanced technology of the Nephilim, right? Or the Watchers, I would say.
Yeah, so sleight of hand.
Yeah, so that's when you get to these books like Bell and the Dragon of Daniel. Can you explain that real quick?
Yeah, so this is a deuterocanonical section that's in the Orthodox and Catholic Bible in the book of Daniel. It's called Bell and the Dragon, and it's a story where Daniel exposes some of the pagan priests for rigging up this mechanical deity that people thought was a real deity, but it was actually just a mechanism, so... So the Bible actually debunks some of this superstition and fraud in the religious realm as well.
So it's really interesting. Where does the concept of kings and kingship come from? And it comes from prehistory, and it also comes from the union of a mortal with the goddess Inanna.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get to that like in detail a little bit later, but I just kind of wanted to, let's see, the sacred marriage...
Is this the idea that you have to unite with the deity through some sort of religious ceremony?
Well, and this is where we get the idea of play acting, actors, actresses, invoking the god to be inside them so that they can be the rulers over the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the male figure that the king would be... performing is Dumuzi or Tammuz, which is also mentioned in the Bible where they say, do not weep for Tammuz, because this was a scene from Babylonian religion. Right? So you've got these epics, you've got Gilgamesh, you've got these kings, and the mortality rates are very high. We talked about exposure. The concept of justice, their primitive concept of justice is very interesting because it was this accepted responsibility of the king and referred to the economic justice for the king to set forth in the land involving some kind of moratorium or remission and forgiveness of debts. So even back then, in the very beginning of time, they had money lending, and this led to a lot of inequalities, and you could not get up in life, or your children couldn't get up in life if you owed a bunch of money. So one of the first responsibilities of the kings in Babylon was to have a sort of, what is it called, jubilee or...
In the Bible, it's called jubilee, which is the period when you forgive debts.
Mm-hmm. Because each city was basically a temple estate that was subject to the king, but ultimately the god, and everything was owned by the temple complex, mm-hmm. and everyone just paid tribute and tax to it. So one way to think of it is everyone is slaves to the god, and they bestow basically based on their whim. Mm-hmm. If you supplicate them enough, or if you don't, they will smite you. And it's a lot like how the Muslims think of Allah as you are their slave. And even in some of their historical writings, they say these gods created us to be their slaves,
yeah.
specifically, right?
Which is interesting because that fits with an imperial religion where the emperor is the god on earth, right? So then everybody else would be sort of the slave caste or class. And these are caste systems, of course.
Mm-hmm. So the temple is the heart of the economy. So that's very important to just the entire status quo and structure of the whole thing is worshiping these pagan deities, right? So you have all of these groups of people. You have magicians, you have witch doctors, you have priests. And there is an entire economy revolving around, like, putting, witchcraft was against the law, mostly. And that's, like, cursing people. But you could hire the good shaman to come and take the curse off you. So there's this...
So it's a racket, basically.
Yes, exactly. There's a racket, there's the witch doctor, and then there's the good one who will come and remove the curse for a fee, mm-hmm. right? So they're extremely superstitious, but not to say that supernatural things weren't happening, but they were on top of that. They were also extremely superstitious. Like they would think that cause and effect, like one day it rained and my dog died. That means like if it rains, your dog's going to die or something. So that this is like the type of rationale that they're having. So because of that, they are relying a lot on omens and signs and symbols. So one of the three main types of the divination was reading animal entrails.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, and the state knows that they were clever enough back at that time that the state understood that they could control the religion. If they control the religion, they can control the society. And so the statists have always sort of had this attitude that they could control everything with specifically occultists. And if you could make the cult worship the emperor, that was the best means of control. And most of those ancient pagan empires, isn't it fascinating that they all had this worship of the emperor? And I think that suggests that there's a common pattern here, not just of human cunning, but also something demonic going on. Why would all these empires collate and sort of, synthesize and, bring all their power to a central location in these mega cities if that wasn't because of some sort of pattern of human depravity and our fallen nature? And I think the same thing is happening today where we're having this move from the idea of, multiple states, multipolarity. They want to push for this global technocratic Babel where everything becomes a big globo homo glob and everybody's sort of blended and mixed together and there's no unique people groups. Remember in the book of Genesis, God created the people groups to be specific people groups. He didn't want Babel where everybody was just sort of melded into one gigantic, glob thing. So these religions, these imperial powers in the past are patterns and structures that I think the wicked use and study to bring into fruition into today. In fact, you can look at famous historical texts like Oswald Spengler's book, Decline of the West, that two-volume series was written as a critique of some of the flaws and the patterns that Spengler saw in the West, because he saw that civilizations and societies had a lifespan, and so they would have a birth, kind of an ascent, a flourishing, and then they have a death phase. But when people at Tavistock, when they read Spengler's Decline of the West, they realized that it could also be understood as a manual of how to degrade and destroy, and kind of through a form of, I guess you could say, accelerationism, you could say, that Tavistock kind of came up with that. You could further the collapse of the old system to bring in the new system, which again is this sort of technocratic socialist order that they've been pushing.
Well, they kind of want it set up, the way I see it, is these city states, right? That are sort of like...
Yeah, mega cities.
Mega city states, that you are a citizen of this and not of the land that you're on. So we'll see how it goes, but,
Well, that's getting rid of the nations, mm-hmm. right? Getting rid of nation states and borders and having a gigantic federation of megacities is exactly the kind of rootless bug man future that they want.
Mm-hmm. So I thought when we were doing that show with Isaac Weishaupt the other day, we came across this quote in a Kenneth Grant book saying that Crowley and the beings that he was in contact with were the same as these beings in ancient Mesopotamia.
Yeah, the same demons.
Yeah. So you've got a couple of these. Yeah, what?
Nothing, I'm just laughing. Go ahead.
Pazuzu is named in here, so that's the famous...
The exorcist.
Exorcist demon, right? Mm. The demon of the hot wind of the desert. And what they would do is actually just make an amulet of the thing that they were scared of for some reason. So I don't know, like, how that is tracks logically. But if you carry around a mini form, it will protect you from the actual thing.
Yeah, which is interesting because you see that in Judaism as well, with Babylonian Talmudic religion and the idea of, within the Kabbalah, for example, a lot of sigils and amulets. So I think a lot of this, when the Jews were in Babylon, did pass into some of that oral tradition.
Mm-hmm. So another type of demon of Babylon would be Lamashtu, made an appearance on Saturday Night Live last year in a sketch. Lamashtu is the she demon who threatens nursing mothers. So kind of like a Lilith.
Lilith, yeah.
Then you have the good spirits and the winged bulls, and the not to be confused with the Lamassu. So do you remember we went to London to the British Museum and those gigantic winged guys? So those are the Lamassu, these guys.
So the griffins, basically.
Yeah, these protective guys. So they had classes, different classes of spirits, and some were bad, some were good, some need to be supplicated.
We're full Harry Potter here.
Yes, this is Hogwarts right now. But I mean, this is techno-Babylon in a way. We just did a show called that. So it's all going to make sense when, if we have enough time, we get to goddess worship and transgender. So back then, the pantheon was just like, you know, Anu, Enki, Enlil, Inanna. These also have Greek names. Ovanes is one of them. And they're thinking that a lot of the technology that came to them was from a fish man, right, named Enki. And he was like, you know, the water god who came to be Triton or Neptune, those guys, right?
Yeah, and the ancient empires tend to have the same basic gods, right? So you have within Egypt, like, you know, certain deities with associated with Heliopolis, and there's like 10 deities, and then eventually it's 11 or 12. And then, so that pantheon, which gets associated with the zodiac and the houses of the zodiac, it's all the same sorts of patterns from these ancient civilizations up through to the Romans, to the Greeks, and then Romans, et cetera.
And this is something that the prophets of Israel were fighting against when they were captured. They were fighting against trying to, the Babylonians were trying to fold in Yahweh into their pantheon and identify him with Marduk. And so this is something that the prophets were.
Yeah, the whole book of Jeremiah is set within, you know, him lamenting and prophesying about the Babylonian captivity. And so many of the things that he talks about, not just with Babylon, but, you know, even the whole book itself, he critiques at that time, even the problem that the scribes and the lawyers in Israel had already begun importing a lot of these bogus traditions and teachings of men and superstitions and something that Jeremiah rebukes, which leads him to be imprisoned, and he's let down into a pit. And that, by the way, is all a type of Christ, because when you read in the Gospels, Jesus starts talking about the being the good shepherd and things like that in the book of John. That's all parallel to the whole shepherd discourse in the book of Jeremiah. So there's so many things in Jeremiah that parallel, of course, the contemporary time of Christ, including the fact that Babylon is likened to Rome and the fall of the Jewish temple and so forth to the Babylonians is a type of the fall of the temple in 70 AD, which Christ predicts in Luke 21 and Matthew 24. So all of what we're talking about, we're kind of moving up and into the, you know, apostolic period to the time of the apostles, and et cetera. And so it's going to be very relevant to where we are today, because this same principle, this this idea of this world civilization antithetical to God, right? If you remember in the story of the Tower of Babel, the idea is to build this human civilization, this tribute to man, to autonomous man, in defiance of God. They didn't think they could really go into heaven, but the idea is to defy God. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Anywhere. I'm Jay Dyer.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it, because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and at Funzer Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this, and then looking at how they're organically derived, and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time, so take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer. And I'm here with Jamie Dyer, and we are covering the history of Babylonian mystery religion and how it relates to today. We're basically in the exact same system. Not much has changed. And we were talking about how the gods have all these plans for man to unify and to come together in this world empire and to defy heaven, like Babel. And so that Babel is really an archetype and a pattern for everything, playing up to where we are today, whether it's culture, whether it's technology, whether it's religion. Babylon is the ethos that we are entering into. And so even the book of Revelation, when it describes the end era, the last days, it describes it as a religion of mystery Babylon, the whore, that seeks to unite all the nations in a false worship and degeneracy, et cetera. So how do we, make sense of this? What's the origin of all this? Where does it come from? We would say it's a fallen angelic entity. It's satanic. And it's never gone away. It's still here, and it won't go away until the end of the world, until the eschaton. And so we were talking about the patterns and the symbols, the symbology of this religion and how it relates to today, particularly things like Hollywood. Hollywood is really just the new Babylon. I wrote 3 books on this. You can get those books at my website, jaysanalysis.com, in the shop. All those are signed copies, and also you can get copies of Jamie's books on the same subjects. Where are we at?
Well, since you mentioned the whore of Babylon, we can just talk about that for a second. So by assimilating the personality and function of a lot of other goddesses, including Mother Earth, and that's a weird one that I did not expect. So the Mother Earth of the New Age is also this Inanna goddess, right? So she eventually became virtually the only female deity, so that the word Ishtar came to be used for goddess in general, and her formidable power is reflected in the mythological fancy that she drove a team of 7 harnessed lions, or 7 evil winds, and so that's the imagery that we were using for the Katy Perry Super Bowl, right? Her on top of a lion with this flaming dress. And I want to show you guys this.
Yeah, I mean, pop music is full of this stuff too, for sure.
Yes. So this is the Ishtar Gate. Where's the camera? Right there.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that the blue Ishtar Gate of Babylon right there. And right now that is in a museum in Berlin, which is called the Pergamon, which is named after this temple to, I believe it was Zeus, that they also discovered and brought that to the city of Berlin. Built a museum around it.
Yeah, I think it visited the Vatican and then it went to Berlin or somewhere, but.
Right, which the Bible calls the seat of Satan, actually.
Yeah, in the book of Revelation early on, when John's writing the letters to the 7 churches, the church of Pergamos is called the seat of Satan.
Mm-hmm. And, in the very same museum, you have this literal gate of Babylon. So Ishtar is known as a gate also. This is the Ishtar Gate. She is the portal, through which a lot of these cosmic currents that the magicians would say in their vernacular come through, right? Mm-hmm. She becomes Diana, Ishtar, Isis, who's the major one? Oh, Cybele,
mm-hmm.
Right? Who we talk a lot about. I think we did a show on Cybele when we were talking about self-harm and cross-dressing, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
Well, what's interesting is that the ancient religions, through these goddesses and gods and the idea of the hermaphrodite, mm-hmm. which now we call Baphomet or whatever, that these ancient religions actually had guilds of trans prostitutes that would promote this stuff.
Yeah, they were called the Gali or the Gali or the Gala. And yeah, they were her priestcraft. They lived in communal setup. They were beggars. They were entertainers. They were traveling wheelbarrows. They would go from town to town and do signs.
And they lived on welfare.
Yes. Well, welfare and like alms and cut themselves. They would give concerts. So they were like a whole thing, right? We did a whole show on that. But yeah, she was actually in her epic poems. She says, "I, Onana, am the goddess who can turn men into women and women into men." Right?
That's a powerful magic there to be able to do that. And but see, modern people today scoff at magic, and yet we have a gigantic portion of the population that believes that you can turn a man into a woman. So all the left actually does believe in magic. They have absolutely 100% magical thinking. In fact, Terrence McKenna used to critique this and talk about this. I'm not a fan of Terrence McKenna, but he would say that we have entered into an era now where we have magical thinking as the norm, and that's what postmodernism is, this idea that you can think reality into being. So if I identify my mind as a woman, I am therefore a woman. So this is all just really lunacy. As it's almost kind of a form of mass, I don't want to say mass formation psychosis, but mass schizophrenia, because people are actually becoming dissociative, it would seem. And I know that in the John Mark's book on the history of the Manchurian Candidate MKUltra study stuff that he wrote, one of the first in the late 1970s, he actually argues that there was an intentional study and plan to understand how to induce dissociation. And so I can't prove this, but I suspect that they actually probably want to cause dissociation in the populace. And when we look at the leftists today, how they act like they're just sort of mobs of, you know, Babylonian mind bombed, you know, demon possessed people, like they're actually in some sort of, you know, mind raped dissociative state.
Well, you see like on, National Geographic or whatever, the people who will go out and drums and pierce themselves or like stick a thing through their tongue and not bleed. So these are the types of mystic shows that they're putting on in Babylon.
Yeah, you mean like voodoo. So basically you have to engage, sometimes in voodoo you have to engage in really extreme forms of self-torture or harm, and then that placates or causes the deity to enter into you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a performance, because if you ever watch like voodoo ceremonies, the shaman is also a performer.
Right. And so the association with whoredom and Babylon is very ubiquitous and well documented. So here it says, classical tradition certainly believed that religious prostitution took place in association with Babylonian temples. The Greek traveler Herodotus reports in Babylon every woman must...
Herodotus?
I did a... You know who? Herodotus. Okay, every woman must...
It's architecture. It's pronounced architecture. And don't get into the macabre.
It's nuclear. Go nuclear. Every woman must once in her life...
You need a green beret in your hair.
Go and sit in the temple of Aphrodite and there have intercourse with a stranger. Once a woman has taken her seat, she may not return home until some stranger has cast a silver coin into her lap and taken her outside the temple to lie with her. As he throws the coin, the stranger has to say, "In the name of the goddess Mylitta." When she has surrendered herself, her duty to the goddess has been rendered, and she may return home. From that time, it will be impossible to seduce her, no matter how large a sum you offer her. So these are just some of the tales of traveling through Babylonia as an ancient Greek, where they're still doing this temple prostitution.
Yep, little Saint James.
Well, that's actually...
Well, he did seem to... I mean, it does. It's not. I don't think it's a temple, but it looks kind of like a temple. I don't exactly know what that building was. Maybe a spa, a sauna, but it could have been a temple, right? It could be some kind of, you know, Crowleian-style temple. We don't really know, but Yeah, I think, you know, you see this stuff, not just with Epstein, but, you know, you see it with Saville and all of these, you know, pretty prominent human trafficking cases. You know, think of the Dutroux affair in Belgium, where you had women that were, you know, held captive in a castle, and some of them escaped and ratted on basically the entire structure of the Belgian government, and basically nobody got in trouble. So they only went after the patsy, the guy who was the procurer, Marc Dutroux. But this shows us that, you know, you have an entire European state back in the, you know, 90s, 2000s that was implicated, including Roman Catholic cardinals. And it went all the way up to the top of the elites of that society, and they were just really completely just degenerate, predatory, you know, sickos. So that's kind of what we're getting at here, is like with a lot of these high profile cases, with Epstein, although I don't know about any specific satanic stuff, in the case of, Leslie Wexner does, talk about being possessed by a Dybbuk. So even within the Epstein sphere, there is the idea of demonic possession. I know Epstein was interested in, you know, transhumanist type things and having offspring and so forth that he could, you know, populate the future with his own, you know, Epsteinian race or whatever. But, you know, that stuff is still, it's exactly what we're talking about. It's this domain of the religious, the scientific, the esoteric, all sort of colliding with, you know, intelligence agencies and compromise. And it's an ancient technique. You know, there's a great book that, I've been meaning to get to for a long time, written by an intelligence historian who was a Roman Catholic uniate priest, Francis Dvornik, and he wrote a book about the history of intelligence agencies in the ancient and medieval world. And we don't think of that as, you know, you don't think of that in the ancient world. You think of priests and, you know, emperors, but they actually had a very sophisticated network of espionage and spycraft and entrapment operations, you know, using honeypots, using honey traps to compromise powerful people. That's not a new idea. It goes back to the ancient world. So again, in regard to, you know, this idea of the history of intelligence agencies overlapping with religions, the original spies were priests and were mailmen, according to Francis Dvornik in his history of intelligence operations. So you can go back to the ancient Egyptian world or to Babylonian world. And it was the priestcraft that was also the spies. It was the priestcraft that was also basically mind controlling people. You know, they had the technology, even in ancient Egypt, of potentially sort of putting spells on people using, you know, magic, using potions, using this kind of stuff. You see this in the book of Exodus itself, right? With Pharaoh and his magicians and the religion of Egypt versus, you know, Moses and so forth. So this is a spiritual war and confrontation that's not new. It's ancient and it's still going on.
Well, I have a article coming out with the Decoding Culture Foundation, and it's all about Pinocchio and mystery religions and how many different esoteric interpretations there are of just that little cartoon. But in studying for that, I actually found what the Epstein Temple was built after. And
I mean, it looks like a Turkish bathhouse, yeah, like a Syrian bathhouse.
A bathhouse in Aleppo, Syria, Islamic bathhouse. And it's done in a very distinct style. I can't remember the actual name of this, like, specific Muslim architecture, but it is a bathhouse in Aleppo. Hmm. Very ancient. Mm-hmm. So it's weird. Anyway, what were we talking about? Inanna? Cross-dressing? What else? Invoking a god into a statue. So this is a very interesting study. Are spirits made of matter, and can they be trapped in things? So the Babylonians thought that they could, and some new techno-pagans also think that this...
Annabelle.
What do you think?
That's about Annabelle. Yeah. That doll crazy. That doll scared me.
Remember that B-movie that we watched with the kid who was in the military school, and he went to the computer, and like the devil was in the computer?
Yeah, it's Ron Howard's brother's film. I forget the name of it. 976 Evil? No.
No. Mind something?
Anyway, yeah, it's an old computer horror where the computer basically possesses
people.
Right. So they did actually believe that you could, trap a spirit in an object, sort of like a genie in a bottle, and worship that and get that to do things for you. Also, before and after the flood, these cities, the feeding of the gods was a huge endeavor. Like, they have, the first cuneiform seals that they found were just like record keeping of the taxes that you would bring as tribute to the temple, right? And it was like so much food, wealth. The priest could never even eat it all. And so it could be that, like, before the flood, these bigger beings were consuming all of this stuff. Even they say that in the Bible, like, they were eating everything in the land, and the Epic of Gilgamesh was saying they're eating everything.
Well, it's not in the Bible. It's the book of Enoch that says that.
When they go to, the spies of Joshua go to visit, they say that they eat everything. So
I thought you were talking about the Nephilim. I mean, in it's not the Nephilim that Caleb sees, but go ahead.
No, but I'm just saying, like, the tribute to the temple is enormous. Right.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And it just required most of your,
well, I mean, at times it requires your firstborn.
Yeah.
So
that was super common, just to take your first baby and, give it to Moloch, because then you would have 10 more babies.
Yeah. And we know that there was, going around on TikTok last year, some of our friends like Dr. David Patrick Harry, Rachel Wilson, and others did a whole series of talks and podcasts on this idea that there's girls on TikTok now that are actually promoting the idea that you can have abortions as a kind of a ritual, magical Wiccan action. And this kind of went viral for a while on TikTok. So if you think that the Babylon mystery religion is gone, no, it's actually being promoted by, TikTokers and witch talk, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that, when they were saying that you can abort your firstborn as an offering? And some of these videos were getting, hundreds of thousands of views, millions of views. It was crazy.
There was a article in was it Cosmopolitan or something like that?
I shared that it was Cosmo, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, all Babylon 2.0, or however you want to call it. In the new year, they would have the Akitu festival. So this was the public, sex ceremony where the priestess would represent the goddess, and she would bestow the kingship onto the king in public. And the people would emulate this, and this was an entire public fertility ritual. So this is what's going on in ancient Babylon as worship is these.
Yeah, it makes me think of that movie Wicker Man with Christopher Lee, exactly. Where, in Wicker Man, they're basically having to continue the human sacrifice because they think that placates the deity to then make the crops grow again. But, of course, we all know that the best Wicker Man is the Nick Cage Wicker Man.
And I find it so interesting that this whole package came as a lump thing, like the idea of a crown, of a scepter, of a throne, all of these royal implements. They're probably stolen from heaven.
Yeah, well, they're stolen from the prophesy. In Genesis 49, you have a prophecy of the scepter will not depart from the tribe of Judah until Shiloh comes, and Shiloh is the Messiah. So when the Messiah comes, that's it. Like, there's no more Davidic line because, that's a mysterious prophecy. How do we get the scepter departing, right, when the Messiah comes? Well, Messiah is the final member of the Davidic line. And so that's Genesis, right? So a lot of people think that, oh, the Bible is against kings. The Bible, Samuel is warns the people that it's a king after the pagans, right? The pagans worshiped the king as God on earth. And in this situation, it's unique. It's a different situation where the Messiah is actually prophet, priest, and king. He fulfills those three roles of the Old Testament. And so this is the unique situation where Christ, who is the Messiah, who is the Son of God, he is the one to be worshipped. Whereas in these other situations, it's facsimiles and fakes and frauds, right? Mm-hmm. Pharaoh, he's not really the Son of God. Enki, he's not really a deity or whatever, right? The, Cyrus, right? He's a type of the Messiah, but he's not the Messiah. So in the same way as, you have these fake versions, there's also the authentic version. But in regards to monarchy and kingship, people don't realize that in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses laid down laws for the king. You have a prophecy of a monarchical lineage through David in Genesis 49. So how could the Bible be against kings and monarchs when throughout the Old Testament, prior to even the Davidic kingdom, you had the prophecies and you had the restrictions on the king? For example, the king was supposed to read the law all the time. That's in the Mosaic law itself. So how could it be against monarchy when that's in the Torah itself? But the point is rather that people have a tendency to worship these figures and to defer to them and to make them into deities when they're not actually deities. And that's the danger. That's the facsimile fraud version that you get in all these mystery religions.
Mm-hmm. And also, it's interesting that the Israelites had no king up until Saul, while all of these other dynasties, monarchies, Sumerian kings list are getting their legitimacy from these fallen angels or rituals done in votive.
So they say.
Right. and Israel is like a distinct set apart thing. Like we don't get a king that has, you know, like had sex on top of a ziggurat with Inanna, right?
Well, except that most of the Israelite kings fell into that. So yeah. They did end up, especially, so basically there was only a handful of good kings in the southern kingdom of Judah, mm-hmm. and all the kings of the northern tribes of Israel were bad.
Because that it wasn't just Mesopotamia, it was also Egypt. So this book is paralleling the mystery plays of Egyptian with Babylon and saying they also have these rituals that they get their legitimacy to rule from the priest and the goddess and therefore become the god on earth. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the pharaoh would be Ra on earth,
mm-hmm.
right? and within all of this, you have just so much human sacrifice going on. It's not just people play acting, LARPing. They're literally shedding blood of people. I mean, just the amount of different types of human sacrifice is kind of chilling when you read these ancient texts, because you have the widow sacrifice, right? If a powerful man died, his wife was expected to just sacrifice herself and maybe her family too, to just go in there with them. You have foundation sacrifices where when they're building the cornerstone to a big undertaking, they'll just slit someone's throat and push them into the
foundation. Yeah, and a lot of people think that this didn't happen in Egypt, but no, Egypt actually did engage in this kind of sacrifice. I'm pretty sure they did the foundation sacrifice.
Yeah, and then you just have your run-of-the-mill child sacrifice for fertility or whatever, leave them outside if you don't want them. And just to wrap up real quick, so all of this is what the world looked like before Christ. So the world BC was very barbaric. It was, you wouldn't like it. You wouldn't survive. You would be dead. And Christ came and dethroned these things, literally, like, evangelicalism back then, it looks a lot different because it was you actually going into a temple and knocking down these possessed statues that people were sacrificing.
Yeah, many of the church fathers discussed this, where the idols were destroyed, and then they would convert the basilicas into Orthodox churches, absolutely.
Right. So now you have these displaced entities that used to get so much worship and veneration, and Christ coming has dispelled. So now that they're seeking other ways to get back into contact with people, and they can do this through, you know, divination, technology.
That's why we've seen a rise in all of this stuff in the last several years, as people have lost their, you know, authentic tradition in the West. Western civilization is built on Christianity. Byzantine civilization built on Orthodox Christianity. We don't even learn about Byzantium in the West anymore. This tradition that built what we have, people are now turning away from that as we get to this sort of degradation phase of our civilization, like Spengler talked about. And the problem is that when we get to that phase, then people start returning to the irrational, to the primitive, to the primal, to these superstitions, especially amongst a lot of the Gen Z. The millennials, the witchcraft and the occult, all that kind of stuff has, really exploded. But there is good news. a lot of people at that age group are also becoming Orthodox Christians, are also turning to tradition and looking for authentic meaning. So I think we're kind of seeing a winnowing of the, you know, wheat from the chaff in today's, you know, today's zeitgeist. But yeah, I want to remind you guys that I will be live on my channel doing live streams pretty consistently. Jay Dyer on YouTube. You can also follow Jamie on YouTube and on Twitter. Just look us up, Jamie Hanshaw Dyer, Jay Dyer. Also be sure and go to the Alex Jones store and get a hold of that methylene blue. I've been taking methylene blue for the last several months. It's awesome. Highly recommend it. I'm looking forward to getting some methylene red. But you can also get a hold of all those other great products, the bovine colostrum, etc., and support the InfoWar. This is the Alex Jones Show, and thank you for tuning in.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best. Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.